They tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
Barry Sanders turned around a defensive back about three times. Wow.
The guy is trying to tackle him, but he's got his back to Barry because he can't find him.
Here's a touchdown, Lions. Holy mackerel, what a run by Barry Sanders.
Detroit, there'll be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, but the play is not reviewable.
Welcome to another edition of the Roar of the Lions UK podcast, episode 258. We're not worthy. My name's Matthew Turner, alongside Anthony Fitzpatrick, Ryan McCluskey, and Ashley Soden. How are you doing, boys?
Doing okay. Just feel sorry for all those reporters that had to put up with for like 4 or 5 days worth of just standing there at press conferences, scrambling to ask the same 10 questions over and over. Have you met with this team? Have you met with this team? Who really cares?
Are birds real?
Yes!
That's my question space. To you all.
Is space real?
I am all geared up for free agency now. We are on the precipice of a Lions bonanza. I can see what big's about to happen. I can feel it. It's stirring in my loins.
Have you been reading the same things that Chiefs fans have been reading? And if you think something big's happening,
jam off a sneeze straight up.
Yeah,
they genuinely think that's a real thing, don't they?
No. Okay, I won't say that. Never mind. On free agency, by the way, I'll say this right now: we are exactly, almost, just over. Just under, in fact, 1 week away from legal tampering opening. Legal tampering opens at midday Eastern time on the March the 11th. So I think, Ant, we agreed last time that once free agency opens, which I think is 5 p.m. our time on Monday next week, we're going to be live as legal tampering starts, just in case something drops for the Lions' early doors, and just talking about the news as it comes in.
Yeah. And because a lot of the re-signings happened, because there were like 3 or 4 re-signings done by the team on that day as well. So, like, stuff's already happened before it goes up. No one streams, so I don't know why. It's fun. Get to see who the Bears are going to spunk unnecessary money on this year again. And Patriots, 100 million, and they can't do it for Toffee. It's fun. It's good stuff.
Hunter Henry now, a free agent, of course, who was maybe the marquee signing of that lot. What a worthwhile investment that was. And we will be live to break it all down next Monday. So if you want to find out what's going on in free agency and just want to come and say hi, it's going to be a bit early on a Monday, but we will be there. But this show is, of course, about the NFL Combine. Of course, the name of the show is in honor of Xavier Worthy, who is now the fastest man alive at the Combine after running a 4.21 in the 40-yard dash. We did talk in the pre-show about how pointless the 40-yard dash is, but hey, to go down in history as that guy has lived for a long time in the annals of John Ross, because he didn't do fuck all else on the NFL field. So Xavier Worthy, we will hear about his name for a long, long time until someone dips under 4.2. We are going to go through the combine day by day and then position by position in just a second. But first, do come and join our Discord channel, because it's got lots of great draft chat at this time of year. And it's a really friendly and nice community of Lions fans and fans of other teams. Links in the live chat right now. College Football Podcast, and still working on the HBCU stuff, I would gather.
Yeah, it'll come soon. I've just been really busy, so but we'll be back soon.
All right. Please don't forget to like the show, sub to the podcast, and don't forget to add Lions Nation Unite on their Facebook group, Herman Moore's project to bring the best in Lions content creators together. We are Twitch affiliated, YouTube monetized, and we've got a feedback form down below, as well as a tip jar on Twitch. If you want to show us some love, if you're liking the content that you're listening to, we'd really love you to show us some appreciation that way. But just listening is good enough for us as well. And finally, our merch store is available as well. The link's in the live chat. If you want to show us some love but want to get something back, that's the best way to do it. Combine. Day one was the defensive linemen and the linebackers. So let's start, fellas, at the defensive line position. It was an absolutely stacked number of people. And it was interesting to see who got tagged as what, because I know that obviously the Lions have been linked a lot with Darius Robinson, and they tabled him as defensive tackle, which I thought was interesting, given that he has been described as an edge pretty much all the way through this process, but he's in at DT. There were some other really big names in here, including Tavondre Sweat, Leonard Taylor, Johnny Newton, of course, did not work out, Byron Murphy, a few others in there that people really like. But I'm going to throw this to Ash straight away just to get this one done. Braden Fisk had himself a day, eh?
He really did. Like, I knew he was athletic going into this, not leading the 40-yard dash, the broad jump and the vertical jump level kind of athletic. Like, he showed flashes of it at Florida State, probably showed a bit more of it at Western, because with us, he was nursing a knee injury, particularly down the stretch in the season. Didn't expect this, and it kind of, as someone as biased as me and everyone on the panel knows here, as much as I love my FSU players, it's maybe got a bit too far with him. Like, I love Fisk to pieces. He fits that kind of DT role that I love. Like, everyone remembers last year how much I stand for Elijah Kansi. Fisk is that same kind of slightly undersized, free tech pass rusher, maybe flex out as a big end in certain packages. But Kansi had that elite first step, that elite trait to sort of go off. Fisk doesn't. So I know certain places, including the Bischoff and Brown for the DLP, said that he'd be in play with our first round pick. Even for me, that's too rich. Day two, middle of day two, maybe I'd be happy with us taking him there. It's a bit too high taking him anywhere near the first round because it's a bit older. As I said, it's a bit undersized. The arm length for me is a bit short. I know some people you like it a bit longer because obviously you can engage first. And he doesn't have that, as I keep saying, that elite trait to go off. So yeah, I'm happy the athleticism there. People are kind of waking up to he's a very good pass rushing tackle. Just maybe didn't really hit his stride with the Power 5 school. But first round talk is a bit too much for me with Fisk. So loved him showing out to show we weren't just a one-player team, despite how certain ESPN-led committees led people to believe we were. First round, even high data, second round for Fisk is too much. End of second round, third round, you'll be getting yourself an absolute dog. If we take him there, he's going to be a Dan Campbell player. Fits that kind of mentality, but yeah, don't go all too much off the combine. Look at the tape and see it's there, but you need to really but like draw it out of him.
Mm. Ryan, and I think that Fisk has really been the talk of this group, at least nationally. What do you make of him? What did you make of him? Has your opinion changed? I mean, I think it's certain to say that he's a riser out of this process, but maybe just in the scouting community and the national media and public rather than for NFL teams. But he was impressive.
I can't deny you. Like I say, his technique, like I say, the 40-yard dash, like I know I don't rate it, but he was so compact. It was so tidy. He looked like a sprinter. He was taking, like I say, short strides. He was pumping the arms. You could tell he'd worked really hard on practicing that. Like I say, he is a really good all-rounder. Like I say, I think he's very well-rounded. I think the athleticism and the talent doesn't match the production. He could have been more productive. And like I say, that's because, like I say, he's older. He's got better at the end of the college career than he kind of started. Like, so he's had a decent all-round time. I think for someone that can generate interior pressure, which we do need, like I say, we know it's quite high priority and needs. He does intrigue me. Like I say, I think he's got the kind of the demeanour, the attitude we go for. And with Ash, we're first round, if anyone's even like alluding to that, like that's mental. I say, but somewhere between 40 and 70, he will come off the board. I'd say that's fair. I'd say he's in that top 10 to 13 range. Like I say, maybe defensive tackle, that puts him as a solid day two option. If we don't go D-line in the first round, I'd say he's very much in play with one of our second or third rounders. Like I say, I like him. We looked at him earlier in the year. He did hold his own. And like I say, he wasn't the big name on the defensive line at Florida State. He was very much overshadowed by another guy that showed he's an athletic freak in Jared. But yeah, He suits what we're looking for, and he's going to be in the spot that he might just fall on our lap. So I don't think we'll have to reach if we want him. It could be sat there and he could just fall to us. So yeah, he did himself the world of good. And as you say, it's hard to stand out in this, because this first day was crazy. Like, there were some unreal performances from this guy, like these, the D-line, the linebackers, or whatever you want to call them. Like, this is going to be a super crop.
Just want to give a shout out to Jeff Hurley with the $10 super sticker. Thank you very much, Jeff. You're the absolute best. And I mean, I know that you're not a massive combine guy, but Fisk had a great day.
Well, I mean, you can kind of take this back to his entire off-season program. It's not just been the combine, and I know I'm down on the combine and that, but in certain situations, there are ways you can better yourself. Ryan touched on it here. He's always played on a stacked D-line at Florida State, like with much better players around in terms of the edge guys. And that, like, you have some real super studs on there. So how good actually is he when it's him and he doesn't have a star line around him? And, you know, how good is him and his game? And you've seen sort of during the process, during the All-Star games, you know, the process with him is very good. The technique is very good. The motor's hot. Like, this is a guy who has stood out. It's not, you know, that's what you need to see from him. Can he stand out now that he's not got all these great guys around him? And he has. And I think he's shown in all facets of his game, in his run defending, the pass rushing, he's shown all the technique that you need to do. And he's been part of a very successful program. He's a winner as well. So, you know, from that regard, like, this entire offseason has been very good for him. And he's also, again, in a very weak defensive tackle class. Like, for the second year in a row, it's not great in terms of where he's at, like in the second, third round conversations. There's a couple of guys up top, but in that middle part, some of those guys who were meant to be there have just plummeted. There's not a lot of depth. So that is where you can rise up quickly on these boards, because if there's a lot of teams out there who need DTs, then you're going to raise sooner if there's less of them around. So I think that's where a lot of the chat is coming from, is, you know, there's not so many good DTs around. Like, so I think he's done himself a world of good. I mean, obviously the questions are going to be there at the NFL level. Like, you know, can he go, if he is going to be picked so high, can he go in and be that guy who's going to be essentially a leader on there and the main guy in the interior, etc., or wherever? But, like, he's done everything he can. So, yeah, he's been very impressive. And he's shown he can work along the line as well, which is going to help him. Like, he can go inside, outside. That sort of versatility is going to help.
Yeah, I just want to jump back in because he has been the guy before. So he only played with us this year. But over the past 4 years, he's been at Western Michigan, as I said. And to be fair, this last season, the season before, 2022, he had a better season than he did with us. So 58 total tackles, 31, which were solo, 2 pass defenses, 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Like, with us, the Greek this year, him playing next to Fabian Lovett, who also had a decent combine, versus, who we mentioned, Patrick Payton, who people in the Discord know how much I freaked out when it seemed he was entering the portal for NIL reasons. He wasn't really the guy, but when it came to it, especially this past season, he stepped up. So I'm just on his ESPN thing now, and it's showing his sack that sealed us the ACC title. It was him who forced the fumble on the Clemson QB that then Kalen DeLoach will get to in a bit because of his combine performance, returned for the touchdown that swung the momentum in our favour. So I think he can be the guy, but yeah, there is still a lot, I'd say, a lot of questions. Age, the fact he's a 5-year senior, short arms, there is still questions there, but I think he can step up and be that guy because he has made game-changing plays at a G5 level and a P5 level.
Yeah, and outside of the flashy name in the defensive tackle class, just coming straight back to Ant now, are there any names from the combine and at the defensive tackle position that you came away with feeling like you were impressed, that they had a really good day? Conversely, anyone that you weren't... let's just stick with the up and then we'll do the down in a minute. So who did you like from the combine at DT?
Oh, you'd set me up then for my guy I absolutely hated.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
What, just on the defensive line in general?
I was saying defensive tackles because we'll get to edges in a minute, but if you want to do whole of defensive line, you can.
I'm just trying to think. In terms of defensive tackles, there was... Who the hell was it? Logan Lee. I did like the look of Logan Lee. He is one of the Iowa guys not getting talked about this year. I thought he looked very impressive in the shows. Because I've not watched him generally as much as the other guys as I have on that Iowa defense. And again, DTs, they're unsexy. You don't hear about a lot of them until it comes to this point where you're like, oh, actually, these guys really big on the defense. But I kind of like what I saw from him, but it's more towards the edge class, which I liked a lot more. But there were guys I really hated in the DT class. It was more hate than love for them. I just don't like it this year outside of Jazane. I don't.
So just for Logan Lee, he posted the best three cone drill of the class, although the majority of people actually didn't do the three cones, so maybe that's not a massive boast, but his three cone was 716, which is a 9.83 on the RAS scale, shuttle 437, 9.61. So elite agility grades. He wasn't the fastest in the 40-yard dash. Who cares? He's also 6'5" and 281 pounds, so an odd mix of really tall and really small. So no wonder perhaps that he can actually get around quite well. Ryan, who from the DT class impressed you?
So two guys. So the first was D'Wayne Carter from Duke. He is a really good run stuffer. He showed he has every bit that muscle, that hired bulk to go on the inside and work on the inside. He's had a decent career with the Blue Devils, long time player. Tested fairly well. He's been fairly reliable and dependable on his career. And then in one of the mock drafts, I looked back in the college season, I looked at Clemson, Xavier, his name's not.
McKinstry, is it? Xavier? No, sorry, I was thinking of
Isn't he a hedge?
I think he might be an edge.
It's
he might
Xavier
be an edge.
Thomas. Yeah, he's,
Yeah,
yeah, Xavier Thomas is an edge, yeah.
the 24-year-old. Like I say, he has been a bit part-timer. Like I say, he's had like the full 6 years, struggle of injuries, but he tested freakily. Like I say, his 40 was incredible. Like I say, for a guy that's pretty heavy and a bit shorter. But yeah, he's had a good solid career. He tested round really well. And for a guy that is a bit longer in, bit more long in the tooth than some of the other guys that's been around about like a good 6.5 years. He's had an injury. I say tested very well. I think those two guys did pretty good job. I say I like them as well. But yeah, good defensive tackles. I mean, we've got to talk about how Byron Murphy's jumped to Devondre Sweat for me.
Yeah.
Devondre Sweat worries the life out of me because I just don't know if I can trust him to manage his weight for the next level. It seems like it's, I know he's coming like that full, like, what was he, 366? I said, that's heavy. And I know he's a heavy guy. I don't know it's going to have to be managed, but yeah, I think I like Byron Murphy. He's really athletic. I know I don't read about 40, but to run a 488, 4.88, I say, he's a short little, stocky, tubby little dude. He doesn't look athletic, to be honest. Like, you don't pass the eye test, but he tested really well. And I think he could be quite sneaky at the next level. Yeah, I think Byron Murphy's jumped to Devondre Sweat for me now. I know a lot of guys want Sweat in Detroit, but I kind of like Byron. I kind of think he'd be a better interior option. But yeah, very impressed. Outside guys, like, I like Marshawn Nealand. Like I say, he's got ties to the state. He played well. He looks good. Passed the eye test. Good finisher. Good production on the outside. Yeah. I quite like this, and I'm glad it's a need this year. I saw Dan Campbell was there, like say he was watching the defensive line, watching their 40s. I saw they panned on him, and yeah, Brandon Dawless, he's a big old boy, but he can move as well. Like say a decent
Yeah,
arm.
he got ranked as a DT, which I thought was interesting because
I don't think
he's
he's a
certainly a
defensive
tweener.
tackle.
No,
No.
I can see it because he's about that sort of just slightly heavier than Pascal range, and we're talking about wanting Pascal to kick inside at least some of the time. So I can see it, but I'd want him to be edge first and then DT if we need him. But yeah, Ash, DTs for you. Who impressed you outside of Fisk?
So some of them have been said. I'm an absolute. I do love Carter. I've liked him since we played Duke this year. He did some things against Maurice Smith, who's the FSU center. I did like him. Meke Wingo as well. Like I was, it kind of like how Murphy's overtaken Sweat. Wingo He's earned himself a bit more against Mason Smith, who's obviously the big name DT that LSU had. Ringo tested pretty damn well, looked pretty good in drills as well. But yeah, I agree with the sweat take, because what are Dan Campbell's three rules to the players? Respect the game, respect your teammates, manage your weight. Don't think sweat can meet that third rules, unfortunately. Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great. Him, as part of Detroit said when they were discussing their pre-combine thing, having him and Aleem McNeil in the backfield package would be absolutely great to watch for the person who's been calling for it for 3 years now. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I liked Wingo. And then I might be stealing Ant's thunder a bit here, so I might say it and then just let him take it and run, take the ball and run. I'm here for the Leonard Taylor downfall.
We'll get to down guys in a minute.
That's give what I'm me, saying. Damn it. I was setting it up.
Give me a little time to give my up people before we get into downs, for goodness sake. Silver Rush 24 subscribing at tier one on Twitch, his or her seventh month. Thank you very much, Silver Rush.
Couple of guys for me, and I will preface this by saying I don't. Sorry, I just threw up his notes. I will preface this by saying I've only seen highlights of the D-line and linebacker guys in day one. I actually need to go back and watch the entire thing, as I have done with two of the days, but not this. So I'm going to highlight two of the guys who had the statistically best day, and neither of them are called Braden Fisk. The statistical leaders in defensive tackles are Miles Cole from Texas Tech, 6'6", 278, ran a 4.6740 with a 1.65 10-yard split. Not content. He's listed as a DT here.
He's an edge.
He's an edge.
At 6'6".
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway, he's listed as DT here, so I don't care. 35 vert, 10-foot broad, which is just insane. The other guy, you're going to tell me he's an edge as well. In fact, I'm pretty sure he is an edge. But he's listed at DT by Rules of Football, which is really annoying.
They don't know how to rank people.
No, they don't. I know it is a defensive end, but I'll forget him if I don't mention him now. Eric Watts, UConn. 6'6", 274, 4.67, 1.62 10-yard split, and then 36.5 on the vert, which is just ridiculous. Incredible performance by him. The other one who maybe is reasonably impressive is Mekki Wingo, 6 foot, 4.85. Also had 31.5 on the vert, which is really good, explosive. Some guys I need to go back and watch, frankly. Right, Ash, let's ignore that man. Let's give it to Ant. I know he's gonna go in.
Do it. But, go on, okay,
Ant, let's just do it. Leonard Taylor. I know he's your favorite prospect in the draft, but what is he gonna bring to the next level?
I want to apologize to Leonard Taylor. I was wrong. So put it this way, this backstory goes to last summer when I started hyping up Jazane and everyone was like, Leonard Taylor's better. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's absolutely not a first round pick. I don't see what he's done in college. Anything at all that has given him first round credence that he was getting at the start of the year. His season's been terrible. His off season's been terrible. I said he was a day two pick. I was wrong. I don't even think he's a day three pick at this point. He is absolutely bloody atrocious. I'm sorry, but he is built off his intangibles. They're like, it's the athlete that the guy has been based on. That was what it was based on when he was younger. He's a freak athlete. He can do this. He can do that. He's not done it in college. He's not put together any semblance of consistent form in college. He has not shown elite in college at all. And in this offseason, he's just looked awful. Like, I'm watching his drills. I'm like, there's nothing special about him at all. I would expect this from like a day three Bama guy who's been a rotational guy for 5 years. I even think the likes of Ebuike and that, the Bama guys, the rotational ones who haven't seen much, are better. You know, if you kick them inside, he's terrible. I don't know what people saw in him. This is why you don't base it on intangibles. You watch the college tape. You watch his college tape, you're not impressed with him at all. And I would just like to say, I was fucking right. Like, people were saying he was better than Jazane. Yeah, no, he's not. Jane's going to be a first-round pick. He was He was atrocious. Didn't like it at all. And this is what I meant with Fisk. Like, he's plummeted down boards now, Leonard Taylor has. Devondre Sweat is plummeting down boards now. And these are the guys who were meant to be the anchor, forgive the pun, at the DT at the start of this draft. They're gone now. So there's a big, massive void where guys like him can climb up to it with performances like this. But Taylor was, it was rough, 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 rough. And as much as I hated to see it, I felt vindicated because I took a lot of hate for that last year. I'm like, nope, not having that.
I remember it. I remember people were so strong that take. Was there anyone else that you didn't like from the class? I know that you're not exactly high on this class, but were there any bad performances out there which have made you go, oh, I was too high on this guy?
There was... I mean, in terms of the others, I mean, I wanted to see more from... I really like Chris Jenkins. I don't know how much he did at this. I don't really remember seeing much of him, but...
He had a really good workout generally. He's regarded as having had a good day, I think.
Yeah, I had Chris Jenkins in my half-season mock draft from the college show. Like, if I want to run stuff in DT, and Mr. Zane said I would not have him. So he's okay, but there was no one who sort of lifted themselves in my view. Particularly. It was just down, but yeah, Taylor, Jesus.
What about you? Oh, sorry, go on, Ash.
I was going to say about Jenkins testing. So 4.91 second 40 with 1.7 yard 10 split, 30 yard vert, 9.7 broad, 4.78 20 yard shuttle, and then 29 bench, which got him the sixth best combine athleticism score by Next Gen Stats. He ruins him a bit in my view because, yes, I haven't seen much of him. So it means I'm going to have to go back and watch more tape on him. I heard the sort of run stopper thing and I didn't really think athleticism, but seeing that maybe thinks he might have, not to the extent that Aleem has it, but that sort of versatility where you can do more than just clog up the middle. So it's someone I'm going to have to go back and watch. Maybe it's because I just oversee or just I forget the Michigan guys because I'm like, everyone already knows about them. There's no point in me watching them, but that really did wake me up to maybe going to watch him.
What about you, Ryan? Anyone who's kind of gone down in your estimation a little bit outside of Sweat?
Braylon Trice sucked. He's falling out the first. He's no longer a first rounder.
First rounder? He'd be lucky to get in the second.
I think he was going to go, but he looked sluggish. He turned poorly. But throughout the season, like I say, he's really good. He passed the eye test. But when you put him under like strict testing conditions, the guy fell apart. What was it? A 4.74? That is bad. And he's not even that heavy. He's only like 245 pounds.
Mm.
I'd say it like, yeah, he is not very athletic.
Asher, anyone else that's fallen in the DTs for you?
Not really. Like, for the most part, it was business as usual, except for the guys we just mentioned. So we can, I guess, take Rice segue and go to the edges.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just list one more guy and then just quickly mention Sweat. The one guy that I had penciled in to have a look again because I'd heard lots of good things that I'm now thinking maybe I just won't is Miles Murphy from UNC. 6'4", 309. So a bit of a heavier boy, but running a 5'2" with a 1.82 10-yard split, doing 28.5 on the vert and doing 8.10 on the broad is some of the worst explosion and running tests you'll see. 10-yard split is kind of important for these DTs because you need to explode out of it. And if you haven't got that, have a good broad. And I'm just kind of chalking him off my board at this point. But on Sweat...
I'd say go and watch the Shrine Bowl. That might change your mind.
Fair enough. On Sweat, I feel like he was rumoured to be falling to the back end of the second round off the back of his physical attributes and just what has happened in this sort of later end of this cycle. And then the combine happened. And I mean, the over-under being placed on by national media was saying he needs to cut at the combine to about 345, 340, because they were saying, oh, he didn't weigh in at the senior bowl. It's probably because he's around where his listed weight is and he just needs to get a little bit lower down. Whereas we were kind of saying on this show, he looks like he's like 380 rather than 365 and he's just desperately trying to cut to where his listed weight is, which looks like it's come true. Which means at the Senior Bowl, he was probably 380, which is on the cusp of being like the heaviest player ever drafted. Like, it's not far away. And I mean, it's everything you kind of fear in a prospect. I wonder whether we're going to see him in the first two rounds. I don't think we'll see him in the first two rounds because he's just a massive risk.
380, just because you've got it sparked in my brain, 380 would be 4 pounds lighter than the heaviest player ever drafted.
Daniel Falele?
Correct.
Thank you. Oh, that feels good. All right. So those are the DTs. I know that we've already mentioned a couple of edges, myself included, because I suck. Actually, it was same defensive line as opposed to defensive line and edge. So I was just looking at all of the guys at once because I'm a tool. Edge guys, people. Impressing, generally. Ryan, you've said one name or two. Anyone else you want to add in terms of risers for the edge position?
Well, we know who the standout is, don't we? We know who the top 10 pick is now. I think one, someone has risen, the cream has risen to the top, and it's Dallas Turner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just what a freaky athlete. I say he's made his millions now.
Ash, what about you?
Well, I can't say the guy I usually do because for me, that's what I expected from him. I knew what we were going to get from Verse. So I'm just happy that he got those testing numbers to back his first round talent.
The guy that kind of... All his measurements were nearly identical to Aaron Donald.
But that was Fisk. So it was Fisk's thing. The one they were comparing Verse to was Myles Garrett.
The only
one that Garrett had over Verse was the arms. Like Verse is another one that has slightly short arms. But again, he can get over it with access. And the one that kind of stood out to me, and I'm really going to butcher his first name, so that probably gives you a clue who it is. But Jalix Hunt, the guy out of Houston Christian, that's someone that's definitely come into like my periphery now. So I'm gonna have to watch like 4.64 40, 1.6 split. The broad very good. Didn't do any of the agility drills, which sucks because I do love watching them, and they're useful for obviously bending the corner. But 19 on the bench rep is respectable for 250-pound guy. Like the sixth best athleticism score by Next Gen Stats from the Edge group. Definitely someone out of school, small school, showing athletic stuff and the potential to build onto that frame. And I've read some stuff that he does is the kind of guy we look for. I think rumoured we've had a visit with him. This is someone that's definitely now on the sort of periphery of,
linebacker. So it's kind of what we go for, I guess.
Yeah, but that's the good thing about us. We've obviously got Hutch can do everything. We've got Pascal and Kamish with that sort of big deep base ends. And yeah, then we've got Houston, Matthew Betts, and now potentially, if we draft him, Hunt as that sort of outside linebacker, Sam guy, fits what we have. So it's someone I'm going to have to definitely go back and watch now.
And what about you? Rises in the edge position or outside linebacker? Let's group those guys together, shall we?
I don't know, we can do it. I don't know. It depends what they're all listing them as. I mean,
Worry about it. Just say your truth. We're all good.
Say my truth. So in terms of the guys who did well, so this offseason, Javon Solomon, for me, has been really good in his All-Star game, shown what I need to at the combine. He's coming from Troy. He's coming from the G5. But he's born winner. And he's got uber production all throughout his career. I've watched that Troy team a lot. I think he's a Sunday player, and I think he's shown that he can hang with the best in this process. He doesn't look out of place in this at all. I think he ran a 4.7 for his 40, so from the edge, you know, you're not doing too bad there. He's a big boy, you know, really good against the run. Absolutely love what he's done. So he was the one who really stood out. I mean, there's a couple of others in there that I kind of liked bits from as well. Who was the other one that I really... As much as I hate having him mock to us, I mean, like, Chop looked decent. Like, I mean, athletically, he ticked all the boxes. I still don't like him in round one, but, like, he showed what his game's predicated about, and he has done it in college, like, to a degree as well. So, you know, I can't be mad at the Penn State guys for too long. So he looked good as well for me. And then the unknown one is Jonah Ellis from Utah. Like, I'm just like, I love guys on that Utah defense. And he's just been one I've always been to in and fro in from, but another that I'm sort of more sold towards now. So it's the later guys from this who've sort of done really well for me. Quite a few of them. Some of the guys at the top have, they've fallen in my view, which we'll talk about in a minute. But
yeah,
there's some really good ones. And Ryan mentioned Neyland earlier. Like, Neyland, trouble is, there's been some high productive edges come from Western Michigan the last few years, and they're playing in the CFL now. They're playing in, you know, walk-on football, stuff like that. But he looks different. There's something about him that does scream Sunday player as well. And, like, he's firmly in day two talk now. So, again, I'm intrigued. Color me intrigued. I've not seen as much of him, but I love this combine, so I can't complain at that.
All right, two guys for me, both fairly big names, or at least one really big name, and then one mid-round guy who often gets mocked to the Lions. The mid-round guy is Muhammad Kamara from Colorado State. 6'1", 248, ran a 4.57, which is good, but the 10-yard split, 1.58, which is excellent for someone who's not mocked in the top two rounds. Did 23 on the bench, which ain't nothing to sniff at. Went over 10 foot on the broad, 34 and a half on the vert, which is just solid numbers all around. Got tiny, tiny little hands. So it's a bit of a weird one. 8.63 inches on the hands, which I think is the smallest of anyone listed as a linebacker, whether inside or out. Oh, no, it's bigger than Michael Barrett from Michigan. Anyway, the second guy is someone who we were told was potentially the best edge in the class, who is potentially the most polished edge in the class, but he's not going to athletically test well because he's just decisively average. And Laiatu Latu came out and put on an absolute show at 6'5", 259, so he's a bigger edge in that sort of class of people. 4.64 with a 1.62 split, 32 on the vert, 9.8 on the broad. For someone who apparently is just average athletically, he was over 9 on RAS. Like, you can already see that he's basically got the best pass rush moves of anyone in the class. Now he's proved that athletically he's got it. So Latu, along with Dallas Turner, is rocketing up boards for me because that was a big knock on him, and he's proved them all wrong.
So Kamara, really, well, by far one of the most... If you're looking at all, like, the whole defense in the combine, Kamara's got some of the best production across the entire board and every defensive position in college. The guy is an absolute animal. I think he had one season where he had like 17 sacks at Colorado State. He is just an absolute game changer. Be very scheme specific, like I say, being 6'1", 5'5", he's not for everyone. But I love him. And
we've got a role for that.
He's this year's Cameron Thomas.
If he's there in the fourth round, like, I'll be pounding the table for him. I reckon that's probably where you're going to get him, that kind of spot. And I'd be all up for that.
Mountain West edges are built different, man. They're so tough.
Right. And let's go to those who are falling from this edge class. Who didn't you like the look of?
This is prejudice, maybe. It's prejudice completely. But everybody's favourite darling did not look good. And I don't want him anywhere near us. Darius Robinson. Like, his selling point is his athleticism, and he didn't have it. Like, he registered some bad numbers in this. For me, like, I know I had him in my, what was it, my Shrine Bowl watch list, Senior Bowl watch list, whichever one he did, I had him in there. But he's one of those, and I hate the type of player. They spend years at DT, and they get pushed out. They have one season, they look good, but everything about them's underdeveloped. They're not ready to go. And, you know, they're project players. You don't pick project players as high as he's getting projected to. And what I liked about him, what sold him, is because it was like him and Harris, the Auburn guy, had those two. The difference between those two is he's got the athletic profile that's meant to be next level, that's meant to fit edge perfectly. I did not see it. And given the lack of productivity over the years, because he's not been on the edge all the time and he's underdeveloped, I ain't spending round one on him. For me, he's dropped himself into day two. Somebody will love the frame. Somebody will love it. But for me, no, I just wasn't impressed with it whatsoever. So I wouldn't be going. I won't be going anywhere near him. Not with that pick on there. And a couple of other ones, just for my sort of thing. So Brennan Jackson, the Washington State guy. I'm a Washington State fan. I like those guys. Didn't particularly like what he got on with there. So that was the other one that really stood. Those were the two I really didn't like. And then, oh, sorry, there was the other one, the third one. Austin Buckle looked terrible. I was on the fence about him. Not anymore. But yeah, Robinson, sorry, you've played yourself off my draft board. I don't like you.
Ash?
Well, my guy has just been said, Austin Buckle.
You can expand again. Further.
Again, so like he was someone of heard bits about. I think we got one of the mock drafts I read from, I think it was the Draft Network, had us taking him the third round. It's like, oh, okay, like decent production. So next gen stats coming in, had him as the 10th best edge, and their production score was 72. Then he ran a 4.79 with a 1.67 split. The vertical broad jump, okay, it was just kind of mid. Kind of scoring. So yeah, he dropped down a bit because 240, 6.4 is kind of light as well. So you probably at that frame, you want to pop up 10, 15 pounds, and just going to make him slower. So I'm not saying like he's completely dropped out, like isn't draftable, but it was a bit disappointing for me to sort of for him to test like that. And then it depends where you're putting him. Obviously, yeah. Robinson, Dawless didn't have the greatest testing. And then the other Penn State edge, Isaac as well, didn't really test that well. It's kind of there. Again, they're not completely off my radar, but yeah, they dropped themselves a bit by having mid to bad testing numbers.
The only guy that I really don't like from this class now is Adisor Isaac from Penn State. I kind of got to feel like if you weigh in at 247, you got to win with speed a little bit. And 4.74 ain't cutting it. That's slow. Like that's pedestrian pace at that sort of position. So I don't know. Explosive agility numbers, but sorry, man, but you're just slow. So don't like you. All right, we'll move this on. From the defensive line into the linebacker position.
Me so... first.
I know Anthony's going to say him too.
Me first. I'm just going to have a really, really hot take here and then you can carry on.
If he stays healthy, Fitzpatrick, go on.
If he stays healthy, in 5 years' time, Peyton Wilson's going to be the best inside linebacker in the NFL. You heard that here.
Were you going to say the same, Ryan?
He's probably not going to go that high, but...
No, I was going to say someone else that I know really likes. Oh, he did really well.
Do it.
How good was Nathaniel Watson?
Yeah,
linebacker boards. He tested so well and his senior ball was so good. He was out there in coverage just locking guys down and he looks every bit of that, 6'2" frame? Yeah. I'd say tested incredibly well. I like him, and I think he's going to be one of the higher inside linebackers taken.
Every single play in the Senior Bowl, he was like, it was him. It was just crazy. Anyhow, Matt, sorry, you set yourself up for linebackers again.
The injuries just scare me.
Well, yeah, it's like, though, Latu doesn't get this kind of injury hate that Wilson does. I don't think that's fair, but anyhow, I've said what I've said. He's going to be amazing.
I'm going to stand for Edifan Olufosho from Washington because you had a day, sir, especially in agility stats. 39.5-inch vert and 10 foot 8 broad. That's just ridiculous. At just a tad over 6 foot, 236. Ran a 4.56 with a 1.59 10-yard split. Those are exceptional stats, and I'm going to have my eye trained on you. Ash, anyone who's done well for you? Anyone else want to throw another name out there?
So I know it's mostly the 40, but that's what I expected from him. And yet again, it is one of my guides, KDL, Kalen DeLoach, the second fastest of the 40s of the group, 4.47, behind only Payson Wilson of the Wolfpack, who, yes, they're undefeated against the Knoll since I started to support them, beating Answer the Punch.
There. I didn't say a word.
Didn't even have to allude to it. I know. I'm love just
but getting the punch in before you can. But
getting down on your knees and kissing his feet before you even orders you to. I love it.
Exactly. But for Loach, he is, if I know we've just signed him to an extension Knoll, if you want your sort of JRM from this class who has the speed, maybe doesn't really have the production, but has the leadership there, there is this year's germ in this draft class. It's fast. Okay, yeah, the spit wasn't there. Mid, vert, and broad jump numbers, didn't do the agility drills. But from what I've seen of the guy, he's a point-and-shoot linebacker with some coverage upside. And for me, just he showed out a bit because I wasn't expecting 4.47 from him. I was thinking 4.6. So he kind of somehow rose up my board despite me probably being the highest one out of us four on him.
Anyone else throw a name out there, a guy that they liked from the linebacker class?
Oh, the Texas linebacker that did the 40 last, that did like the 11 and a half feet broad jump.
Is it Jalen Ford?
Jalen Ford.
Yeah. He's the
Texas, he's the Texas, yeah.
Had like one of the longest broad jumps in defensive history, like 11 feet free or something, like just mental. And his 40 was ridiculous too.
Wasn't Ford, because Ford was 10 foot one.
Oh, it's the other guy. Oh, he ran the 40 last.
I don't have it on the linebackers in here, so I don't know what he's listed as. It's very annoying.
They could be hybrids and that in there. All I will say is I'll make my underappreciated linebacker in this draft. This is going to be the M-Rod this year. This is going to be the guy who's picked up no one likes. Aaron Casey from Indiana tested really well, and he has such an underrated body of work on, and everyone says Indiana's a shit team. They are, but excuse my language. Their defense, usually really good. He's been at the core of that. He is highly experienced. He is aggressive, physical. You know, he's the scrappy guy who will just keep on proving you wrong. And like, because I've not seen as much of him as others. I was like, all right, let's see how he tests. Let's see how he looked. He looked right at home amongst some of the best prospects in this draft. And they're saying at the minute he's a special teams guy. I think he's more than that. I think he's one of those you take a pick on in day three and he could be much bigger than the sum of his parts. I've been really impressed with him over this offseason period. So I throw his name in there. And the other one is Tyrese Knight, who's the UTEP linebacker as well. He's their middle linebacker. He also is incredibly underrated in this draft as well. He's going to get drafted. But again, he's sort of another undersized guy. But again, moves with the best of them. Packs a powerful punch. I love him. They're my two really underrated linebacker guys, and they both perform well.
Well, we've got to know Casey because a formal interview of us at the Combine, so he's definitely on the team's radar. So,
which one?
Casey.
Oh, yeah. I can see exactly why they like him. Like, special teams aficionado and kick-ass linebacker. Kind of what we want at linebacker, if we do. We want the next guys to breathe through the practice squad, special teams cycle into the team. He'd be a massive candidate for that.
Edgerrin Cooper looked really good.
He
had a really good all-round workout, but I'd say the college, the tape, I'd say the play is good, but I have reservations. I'd say A&M defense. Really? They worry me.
I was going to say, because Cooper is the one I see most consistently as linebacker one in this class, so
He's a luxury. Not a luxury, but like, I guess for us, I guess we're taking a linebacker one. But
Is he like Campbell last year?
He works a lot on the edge as well. He works on the edge as well. I think a lot of his productivity this year has come from working on the edge as well as at linebacker. So he's hybrided himself. So make of that what you will, but he's still good.
All right, let's move on to day two. And we start with the defensive backs who will train together. And since there's so much toing and froing between
cornerback and safety between now and going to the pros. I'm just going to lump them together. They train together, so why not? Boys, let's start with Ryan. And who were the defensive backs who had a good day for you and have risen in your estimation?
Well, for me, we have a new number one safety. He's the guy I picked to watch at the Senior Bowl because I saw it. It's Cole Bishop out of Utah. Just harsh. In the interviews, he's now up there with Tyler Newbin as safety 1A, 1B. I reckon he's going now round two, round three. For me, he was really good on the day. And also, the other guy I picked the Senior Bowl, Max Melton. I think he's a future.
I could have guessed that one.
We all knew that was coming.
That was mine as well. You've infected me, Ryan.
The Lion in round two, to be honest, I really like him. He is a sticky outside man corner, and he tested really well. He's got the measurables to back up the player, and he was an absolute stud for the Scarlet Knights this year.
And what about you, DBEs, risers? Sorry.
Ryan's infected me with the Max Melton stuff because he's watched him for years in this Rutgers team, and like he is hella underrated. And like,
arguably had the best day of all of the corners, potentially.
Yeah, but it's just in his drills. He looks so crisp. He looks so clean. He's just so good. And, you know, obviously he's got family pedigree because Bo plays with the Packers. But we can get some of the family to Detroit. But, yeah, he looks good. I'm quite sold on him now. He'd be perfect for us. If we're going to double dip at corner, if he's like the second corner you get, that's perfect. Like, you bring him into this team, and I think you're going to get a lot out of him very quickly. In terms of other guys there, of course I'm going to stand Cad, because Cad looked good. Like, I really, you know, I can't say enough about Abrams Drain. No one's mocking him highly enough. I don't know why. It's probably the strength of the corner class is knocking him down a bit, but I think he passed some guys at this. People will take note up here. So DB's brain is where his biggest asset is, and he has it. And apparently he's impressed a lot of NFL teams with it as well. I'm still going to harp on that he could be high day two, very high day two. And I would love for it to be us. But he looked really good. I mean, obviously the standout was Quinion. No, I mean, I'm going to leave that though for you, because that's your take. I'm going to let you have that one. But no, there were... Who else up there looked really good for me? There was a few. So I agree with Ryan, Cole Bishop. Like, I just, yeah, we like our Utah defensive guys. But in terms of the safety class, which is a bit here, there, and everywhere, Cole Bishop looked really good. I was so impressed with him as well. And if we are going to dip in there, because I think we need to, he'd be one of the guys certainly towards the top of that list. In terms of any others that were up there, I know he gave the really weird answers to the weird questions, but I did like the look of Tyler Owens as well as the week went on. Like, he's athletically very gifted. There's a few question marks about him, but as for the testing, he did really good. So, yeah, I loved watching the DBs in this, and I'll give a shout out to Evan Williams. You're talking about safeties who've moved themselves up into safety one consideration. He has as well, the Oregon guy. I've seen a little bit of him. He was the one who got really good interception on Joe Milton, and yeah, I took a lot more notice of him, but he looked really good.
Ash, what about you?
It's yet another FSU player, and it's not the one that Ant's described before on the pod. It's a name that should be familiar to Matt, because me and him had a discussion about him before. Jerrion Jones out of FSU. I know people are projecting him inside as a nickelback. For me, I think he can stick on the outside. And first way to showing that is showing you've got the speed to hang with speedy receivers. How does 4.38 sound? Which is 1, 2, 3, 4, tied for the fifth best of all the corners at the combine. Dude, again, I didn't expect it coming in. Like, okay, has had some issues this year, especially with broken tackles, but as Ant quite excellently put on the pod before, at corner, that's a lot more forgivable than it is up front, because you're like, sometimes they get more space just to adapt to you. You break your arm tackles. So Jeremy, for me, again, boosted him up. He was, I've already done his tape. I'd put him as like a early day three kind of corner. This maybe pushes him up slightly because it showed that he's got athleticism to be tapped. And to be fair, Renardo Green, who Ant has mentioned before on the pod, also had a pretty good day, was a bit more average in the testing, but he's more of your sort of traditional press man outside, if that's what you want. Again, early day three, take a flyer on him. Doesn't really have the athleticism. You're probably looking at more of a taller, slightly faster, slightly weaker Jerry, if that makes sense. But again, didn't exactly shit the bed like certain players do. But in the safety, it's a big name, but I was quite impressed with the Georgia guys, Tyke Smith and Jevon Bullard. I think they both had decent days testing wise. So I'm not really too high in taking a safety high. I know it's a need. We need a safety free, but there's just bigger, more important needs for me. But day three, if some of these guys are knocking around and we want to take a flyer, I'm more than happy to.
So this was a day that I watched, at least for the DBs in its entirety, saw every drill of every player, noted everyone's performance, and then gave them a ranking. I have 17 guys I have with a 7 out of 10 or better. My number one guy for the entire day, which is really kind of annoying in terms of how Ant treats Michigan prospects. Because I think that, and I can never say his name, Mike Sainristril was potentially the...
I take umbrage with that comment. I just give them a higher level of scrutiny.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said. You give them a harder time because there's too much bias from the media on them, from local media. That's what I mean. But Sainristril, he may only be a touch over 5'9". I think he can hang on the outside. And I don't say that lightly, but he's exceptional. He was fast. He was agile. He looks like I think he can hang in press man. Like, I just think this is an all-around player that I get so excited by watching. The only other guy I gave a 10 out of 10 to is someone that I'd kind of written off a little bit in terms of first-round consideration, that you've kind of fallen a little bit after being sort of mid-first round, getting towards... Kalen King is not a cornerback for me, so I'll rate him differently in a minute. I gave him a 5 out of 10 as a corner. I gave Kalen King 9 out of 10 as a safety, because don't let him get anywhere near the players. Just let him defend space, because he's twitchy. He can't read the game up close. Give him a bit of space, I think Kalen King's fine. The guy that I thought did the best at outside corner is Kamari Lassiter. Just... did everything I absolutely wanted to see out of him that made him rebound up there. Quinion Mitchell, obviously, Ant threw him to me because I had to take him to be a top 10 pick. I'd argue now is probably the highest that the national media consensus has been on him. I actually only gave him a 9 out of 10, but I thought he looked really, really good. Obviously, just twitchy, fast, looked like he could hang in press man. 20 reps on the bench. Yeah. It's just an incredible performance by him. But the other guys in here, and I'll just list them off because I think they all deserve at least one mention for having a really good day at corner or safety. Daquan Hardy, thought was exceptional. Nehemiah Pritchett, Jarvis Brownlee, yeah. Dwight McLaughlin, Chris Abensdrain, Max Melton. Those were all the 9s. 8s, Ryan Cooper, Josh Newton, Andrew Phillips, Elijah Jones, Terry and Arnold, which I feel like 8's a bit high, actually. But anyway. And then the 7s were Nate Wiggins for his 40, just because at least he checked the box. Renardo Green, who I came in expecting not to like him because of everything I've heard, that he's just not that great, really. And actually, I thought he looked good. And DJ James.
That's not from me.
What? Yeah, that's from me. What about Cam Hart? Because I actually kind of like Cam Hart. I forgot him, so I was just looking now. I kind of liked of Cam Hart.
Cam Hart got a 4 out of 10 from me.
So there's an intriguing name you mentioned in there, because if you want, again, you're double dipping corner and you don't want to do it too high for the second guy, Elijah Jones is the second guy, the Boston College guy.
He was really good.
As Again, you go back to his Shrine Bowl.
Yeah.
Shrine Bowl, and yeah. he was locking down Tez Walker that day. Like, he was really good. He's older, which is his issue, but if you want a second guy in who can contribute this year, like, he'd be the guy. And I was really happy that he looked good because it makes me feel more comfortable about doing it now. But he's on the list of names there as well, for sure.
I think my favourite guy out of all of those that I listed was Dwight McLaughlin. Just, I thought he had a fantastic set of drills. Didn't look weak in any aspect of them, defending any route. I just thought he looked incredible.
All racing backs do.
I will...
It's not crazy to think that Nehemiah Pritchett could go
yeah,
the top 40. I genuinely think he'll just go just outside the first round.
Another who had a great Shrine Bowl. Like, really good.
For me, the biggest riser of the whole DB class is Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. I picked him up, like I said, at the five. He measured in, like I said, we knew he was small, 5'10". He's scrawny. Tested incredibly well. The Texas Tech guys, their combine in general was fantastic. They just slayed it, all of them. Yeah, he is one of the best safeties in the class. Like I said, despite being one of the more undersized and leaner guys that tested as well.
All right, let's go back round for guys that didn't have a best day in the DB room. And again, I'll go last just because I profiled this so in-depth because I'll take the guys you don't. Let's start round with Ash this time. Who fell for you?
Won't be surprised considering my affiliations. The Miami safeties. What the fuck was that athletic testing from them? Especially, and I know, yes, he had the injury and that, but he was coming in with a lot of hype from people that he's going to test out this world and at Cameron Kitchens. This is a guy who was getting first round hype. And I know, yeah, he had a horrific injury. Give him some slack for that. But he just didn't live up to the hype. He'd still probably get taken day two, but it wasn't all that from him. Like the second, like this worst 40 tied with his safety partner, James Williams, was expecting a bit more from these big, scary guys that were getting the hype. So those were them at the corner. And then obviously the guy at corner, we all know it. And as you said, he's probably going to move to safety in the league. Kalen King, like, just keeps falling and falling. Like, he might be undraftable at this point at corner.
No. I heard that take before. I think the thing about him is his ability in space looked great. It's just that short area stuff that's not fantastic. But I think you could put him at the back and he'd be all right. But
could the freeze die in that? Well, I say that as if we're not one of the teams that runs it the most, but cover freeze pure schemes are dying out, and that team really fits.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Ryan, Foolers.
I was not impressed by Josh Newman. I'm not overly enamored of him. I don't think he was that good at TCU. The body of work for me is pretty average. Like I said, the build, not there. The test was average. I think he's going to get lost in this group of corners, and I think he's going to find himself like maybe sliding like day three. I think he's going to find it. He's going to be waiting for quite a long name to find his name called. But yeah.
You gonna say it? No?
I'm gonna say that he wasn't there, but for me, I don't know, I'm not sold on Kool-Aid. I know he got fractured, but for me, I have issues with him. He's very boom or bust. And I feel like if we do take him at 29, like you say, you're getting the best player in the draft, or you're getting someone that you look back in 3 years and think, God, that was a disaster. Probably end up getting up locked up for armed robbery. So probably just went like totally downhill cliff. Like that's kind of like how it will go with him. I really wanted to see him test. Like I said, I kind of wanted to see, like, I know he's got all the physical tools. Can he put it together? Like I said, I feel like his first round stock is, I think it's hanging by a thread. And I don't know if he's going to be able to go to his pro day or not, this fractured foot. So we'll see.
And who's fallen for you?
So the big faller for me at corner was Marcellus Dial. I didn't like what he did at all. I thought he looked sloppy during testing. And the thing is, again, I don't really put much stock in the combine, but I was on the fence with him because I'd sort of watched him really closely during the Shrine Bowl, and he was on there, and there were just some question marks that needed to be answered for me, and they weren't. So I'm off that now. There's too many other guys who've sort of come to the fore for me there. So he was certainly the loser from that. And loser by virtue of getting hurt was Ennis Rackestraw as well, because obviously he got hurt early. And I'm obviously, you know, fighting the KAD versus Rackestraw, who's better fight at the moment. And, you know, I want to give Rackestraw a fair chance. So it would have been nice to see him test. Hopefully he will. I believe they say he'll be fit for his pro day. So that will be fun. But that was just unfortunate. But that's not by virtue of anything he did. It was just unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm actually realizing.
I'm out on him at 28.
Out on who, sorry?
Ennis.
Rackestraw. Yeah.
I wasn't over the buying it to begin with, and yeah, no, it's not his fault, but it's just setting back a little bit.
I think he's put himself into trade down territory rather than territory at 29, because I thought that he was in play, but I don't know. He can get it back at his pro day, but obviously he should have just not run, but never mind. It is what
combine,
it is.
Everyone I've seen mock to us now, I can't see it. Like I said, I'm kind of out on everyone that all the big people have given us. I'm just kind of out on it. I actually love Darius Robinson. Like I said, I'd love to have him, but I can't have him there. Like
yeah, it's too high.
4'9". I know he's big and I know he's tall. He runs upright, but he did not look athletic. He looked sluggish. And I'm with you. If we trade down to, let's say, 33. And we pick up a middle day round two pick, and he's still there, I'll take him. But I can't take him in the first now.
I am quickly realizing that there must have been another set of safeties that I didn't actually see, because I didn't see Kitchens' run. I'm not really sure why, but never mind. The guys that I saw that had the worst days, so 4 out of 10 or less, starting at fours and going down, had Cam Hart, MJ Devonshire, and Marcellus Dial. So I'm aligned with you, Ant, on liking him.
Oof.
I mean, the thing about Devonshire, and I think it rubbed people up the wrong way when I said it, because some people really like him, is I just thought he looks consistently poor in pretty much all the drills. There wasn't any one that just stood out as that's not that great. He kind of looked a bit sluggish, a bit heavy. His ball skills weren't quite there. Couldn't run the gauntlet in a straight line. Like all of the sort of stuff that you're like, you want to be able to see this. He just didn't really show it. And like, he wasn't remarkably quick. And when you're small, I would like you to be fast. So, I don't know. The threes, Rackestraw was there for me alongside Tahib Steele and Chow Smith Wade, who I just thought was terrible.
He was terrible, but his season and his...
He's a lot better.
His All-Star game was very good. I won't knock him athletically because I've seen him play ball.
Fair enough. The people who got 2 out of 10, Deontre Prince, who was fast but couldn't do any of the drills, just was all at sea, dropped everything that was thrown his way. It was getting embarrassing. And I know he's a lower prospect, but judging you, not judging your draft prospect, like where you are listed, just Isaiah Johnson, thought he looked really unsteady in drills. Very heavy-footed, struggled to stop on like curls and stuff. I was like... You're giving separation to clean air. What's going on? And then Josh Wallace, who I just thought was poor throughout as well.
All I'd say with Isaiah is he was first man. That's not easy being first man. Like, you've got to go and do it before anybody else does. I kind of feel sorry for those guys because a lot of them just don't do it. You know, they don't get a fair shot at it.
All right, we're moving on to tight ends at the end of day two. Sorry?
Oh.
That's fine. That's fine. So I want to go to Ryan first because I'm hoping he's got a good name because I know who it is if he's going to talk about someone good. So,
well, Ryan, the gauntlet has been thrown to you. So tight ends, who do you like?
I don't like many. I don't really like any of them. I think it's class below those.
Oh, shit.
Athletically, they all look dog. Now, athletically gifted, you're talking Theo Johnson at Penn State, really good. But also as a native Lion, I thought he was useless. and he was underused, and that tells me that they didn't trust him. So, but I don't know. Like, Brevin Spanford, there is something there, and he's got the frame. He's got recent agility. He's got little to no production. The Golden Gophers hardly ever used him. But no, but I know Ant wants me to say the Viking, don't I? Can we talk about Dallin Halter?
Like, there we go. He's there.
And for people out there that are saying, oh, he forgot, he didn't know what he was doing in the drill. He knew what he was doing. He caught that ball one handed on purpose. I think he didn't drop that ball on purpose. He was showing off. You're there to show off, aren't you? I don't care if he'd have dropped it. For me, he is tight end three. Like I say, he is one of the best in the nation at contested catches. Absolutely mean in the red zone. Like you say, he's got silky yak. He tested really well as well. Like I said, the gauntlet, everything, he showed the drills that needs to be. Blocking needs to work on it, but he's not, you don't ask him to block. He's a dynamic threat and a dynamic weapon. And for me, yeah, he's going to be one of the first day two tight ends taken. And he is a massive riser.
And you threw down the gauntlet to Ryan. Give us who you thought was a good prospect in this combine for the tight end position.
Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott has done everything I need to see from him now. He's an underrated receiving prospect, and he's a really damn good blocker. And athletically, he kind of backed it up in this. I was already sold on him, really, but this kind of was just like, yeah, I'm really in on him. This kind of backs it up. He's really damn good. Him and Halter, like, I really want Dallin Halter on our team as well now. But if Senator Halter ended up here, I'd be really happy with the pair of them. I agree with Ryan. Spanford's the odd boy. He broke Rass as well, which was funny. I don't know what he did to break Rass, but he broke Rass with his results. They found a ghost in the system with it, but
I'd love to see Lions meltdown when the Lions drafted him a tight end, like at the end of the second or third. And me and Anna just sat smiling.
Yeah, if it's Dallin Halter, then it's like, we'll be, you know, over the moon. Or if it's Sinnott, yeah. Those two, really good. Love them. Don't care about anyone else, really, apart from Spevin Ford for the mystery factor.
Right, Ash, I'm going to ask you, but I am going to wager that you are going to say a name that has not yet been mentioned, and I'm just writing it down now in the style of Ant to see whether you have the same name as I do, because me and you think alike. Who's your guy?
Tip Roman!
Yes! He may not believe in space, but my God, he was athletic.
Yeah, and was it the blocking drill? Yeah, it was the blocking. I'm just checking now. What I was checking on every team.
He dropped that thing like 15 feet back, didn't he?
Yes, that was won me over. Like, I know, Jeremy, if you're listening on Twitch, I know you hate it because it's going to mess with your spell checker. Just, I can see it. As much as I love James Mitchell and as much as I like Brock Wright, Sam Laporte and Tiff Roman in a two tight end set is just... Give it me now, please.
I am going to really enjoy the introductory session between Jeremy and him, which is going to be called, hopefully, Reisman on Ryman.
Yeah.
Which would just be lovely. Tip Ryman, yes. Can I just say this, because it's amazing. Everyone's going mad for Theo Jackson having a 9.99 RAS. Okay. Tip Ryman was the heaviest tight end listed at 271 pounds. No one else was above 260. So he was comfortably almost a stone heavier than everyone else. He had the joint fastest 10-yard split.
Yeah.
1.55 10-yard split is the same as Theo Johnson. Added to that, and you know that Dan Campbell's going to like this, he was the only guy who did the bench, and he did 28 reps. That's huge. And when you do a three cone of 7.02 at 271 pounds, and you do a 10-foot-1 broad, at 271 pounds at tight end, he's strong, he's fast, he can move forward and side to side. He may not believe in space, but I think he's going to get in it.
Exactly. And then I've got to mention it because it's another one. if you want a Jason Kabinda replacement who can actually, you know, catch a ball, Jaheim Bell actually tested quite well. Like, he's an option there. I personally wouldn't do it. I think he'll be better in the sort of, Cole Pitts kind of role as more of your like move tight end in the passing offense. But if they want to look to the future in that role, we still want to keep the fullback around. He's a guy to keep an eye on in day three.
All right, what about fallers? Ryan, you were saying you weren't a fan of this tight end class. Who had a bad day?
See, I'm not overly keen on Jaheim Bell. I understand in the right scheme, he can be that move, that essentially a slot. Like I say, for me, yeah, he's going to have to be like that H-back. He's going to have to be like the lead blocker, the outlet. I think in the right team and that, but like I said, he'll never be able to block, but I suppose that you're not drafting him to be a blocker. But for me, Theo Johnson, for me, he's a wolf in a sheep's clothing. Tested incredibly well, but I just don't think he'll be that effective at the next level. I just don't think you'll see any of it. I just don't think when you pad him up and put a helmet on and ask him to do all those things, you'll probably get the minimal kind of stuff you do in the lines. For me, he's not a riser. For me, he's the kind of guy that you avoid. It's just setting off alarm bells in my head. Is the 9.99.
Anyone else got any fallers from this tight end class?
Jared Wiley just kind of had a midday.
He's too big. He looks a bit leggy, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Jack Westover disappointed me. I thought he was an underutilized weapon at Washington. Like he's a really good receiving. He's a really good receiving tight end, but I don't know, I wasn't blown away by what he did in his drills. And I thought he could be a hidden gem, but I think he's going to stay hidden and not be a gem.
Kate Stover.
And I'm going to go again. You know, Stover's a good one.
Stover looked pretty good.
Yeah. He could have done his thing there. I'm going to go on his screen, though. I don't know what Ryman's done to do the... No, I don't like him. He's not done out in college. He's a workout warrior. And that big Rass is going to impress everybody, but yeah, he's not done enough as a receiver. He's not done enough as a blocker.
Didn't we say the same about, and I've literally just said him 2 minutes ago, Brock Wright? He'd barely done anything out of Notre Dame.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't know Brock Wright's profile at all. Like, I can't lie on that one. So, but again, kind of watch that Illinois team a lot, mainly because of the defense, but they've had guys on offense as well.
I will just apologize to Tip Ryman for saying he didn't believe that space wasn't real, because that was Tyler Owens. He's the guy who jumped in on the stupid birds aren't real meme.
Mechanical birds and throwing balls at charging stations.
Hard to know whether any of that's real. I don't really believe anyone had a really bad day at tight end in terms of the stats. Like, it was a load of people who either did mildly well or just kind of are where they are, and you didn't really do anything to kind of tank your stock. Yeah. I mean, everyone knows about Brevin Spanford, who was mentioned earlier by Ryan, that he ain't the most athletic guy, that he's just not. So doing a 7.383 cone, it's like, so what? Doing a 4.77 40-yard dash with a 1.67 10-yard split is the slowest of all the tight ends. So what? Like, that's not what he's there for. So just don't think anyone had a bad day, really. Which is boring to say, but hey, you didn't come here to be excited. He came here for the truth. Right, let's move into what for a lot of people is the money day. I suspect on this podcast, day four is the money day for the offensive linemen. We'll get there soon. Although I haven't actually watched it yet. I'll get there. But yeah, I wasn't available.
But a guy that I picked the senior ball, I am so happy and I am pounding the table for.
I'm going to write it down again.
Okay. No. We'll get there on day
four. I know who it is.
Yeah,
and can we please go for day three, please? Because you all know that my guy absolutely tore it up.
Right, so day three is running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers, and we'll do them in that order. So Oh. We are going to start with running backs. What?
I thought we'd start with the good stuff and end with the bad stuff, because running backs are stinky. This class blows.
Right, Ryan.
Your guy's the best, but that does
Ryan's just sort of dictated this now.
Okay, Ryan, we'll come to you for fallers in a minute, but the person who had the most visceral reaction to this, to Ryan saying he didn't like the group, was Ash.
By far the best running back in this class for me.
All right.
But the guy I was going to mention wasn't even Trey.
Okay.
I also like Tyrone Tracy Jr. He's a really good, he's an underrated dude.
Can we talk about who's going to be the best running back out of this class? And his dad was a very good NFL running back.
You can go him, and then I can say my guy.
Sorry, Frank Gore Jr. is going to be a stud running back in the NFL. I stand by. I'm more and more and more sold with him as each passing time goes on. The guy just gets it. He's got the pedigree. He's got everything he needs at the next level. I know people go, he didn't do the 40, yada, yada. Don't need to see that. I saw his long speed in the Shrine Bowl. I know exactly what he can do. He is quick. You know, he's deceptively quick. He carries the ball as well as anybody. His technique's great. He's undersized, don't care. Guy's going to be great in the NFL, and he's completely won me over at this point.
Right, Ash, who are you going to say?
Oh, there's only one person I can say. Isaac Arendo out of Louisville. For someone who I remember playing him in the ACC Championship, that dude can ball, and he just showed up why 99 athleticism score from next gen stats. Still probably going to be day three guy, but as I said on Discord, this guy has kicked return experience. If you're looking for someone, if you're looking to upgrade a Craig at running back three, day three, if he's there, take him. I'm happy. That's someone who is a home run hitter like Gibbs, and he can do special teams. So that's why I love him. Special teams.
Ryan, did you have any players that you liked? You mentioned Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, I like Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue. He's well built. He tested well. Like I say, he got to Purdue and he did pretty well this year. In the Boilermakers, they were bad. There's no make about that. He looks like he could be a decent change of pace guy. But for me, Trey Benson has cemented himself as the best back in the class. And like I said, I think the top end of this running back class is kind of non-existent. It got Trey and it kind of just, it tails off. The middle is going to be like a free-for-all. But yeah, Benson is just so well put together. Like you say, it looks every bit of that 6'1". Like you say, he's just the best. I'm going to upset a lot of people by this, but I do not care for Blake Corum in the slightest.
What? I can't believe you. Okay, right. Let me go for the guys that I liked in this draft.
And then come back to me.
Okay, all right. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I had 11 guys I ranked an 8 out of 10 in the combine workout who I thought looked exceptionally good. I only had 1 10, 5 9s, and the rest were 8s. The one guy with a 10 was Blake Corum, who I thought looks absolutely exceptional. I thought his vision looked really good with his cuts. I thought the cuts were deep. I thought he looked fluid. I thought he looked really great catching the ball. He had a perfect workout. I described him in one word, and it was perfection. He had 27 on the bench, 6.823 cone, 4.53 in the 40. He just had absolutely everything I wanted to see. But let me run down the nines. Dylan Laub, or whatever, however you say that surname. Dylan Laub. Kylan Robinson. Tyrone Tracy Jr. Isaiah Davis, who ran really slow, but was just so polished. It was really, really impressive. Bucky Irving. That rounds out the nines. And then the eights were Kimani Vidal, who I thought looked really good. Marshawn Lloyd. Trey Benson. Imani Bailey and Ray Davis, who had bad cut, but otherwise I thought he looked really good too. I thought guys had generally a really good combine. There are only a few that I thought shit the bed, and we'll get to that now. So let's come back around to Ash first, and then I'll come to Ant and then Ryan. Ash, who?
Cody Schrader gets love for looking good as well. Cody Schrader, Kamani Vidal, and Franco Jr.
Cody Schrader got injured in the 40 and didn't do anything else.
No, but he's still good. I don't care.
He's still good. Okay. Ash and Ryan, in that order. Ash, who did badly in the running backs?
Estime. This is someone who I'm bringing up a really... I'm digging something up from Discord here. I said earlier this season that Benson was better than him. And I was told I was wrong. And it looks like I'm right. So this is me. This is my one time just being a bit salty and stirring the pot. Estime shat the bed athletically. Like, he's awful. Still just awful. Like, yeah, the tape's there, but for him to go where he is, I think he's round 2-3. He needed to look a lot better for me. So,
and who had a bad day for you?
In terms of the running backs, I didn't really have too much of an issue with many of the guys who were there. I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
Ryan?
This hurts me to say so bad. One of my favourite running backs in the nation last 4 years, Braylon Allen, was absolutely awful. He blowed. The things he decided not to do was things he needed to do. The things he did do, he wasn't good at. He didn't even get the most bench reps. The guy used to put Treader Ball on his bloody cereal at 17 and was squatting 560. And he used to have like steroids in his Lunchables. Did you see the kid at 17? How was he beaten in the bench press by another running back?
By Blake Corum.
That was the only thing he was there to do. The guy is a physical specimen, but I've got a horrible feeling he will be a useless pro. I can't believe him saying that, but athletically, he absolutely stinks. There is no explosion in the vert. The broad was bad. He didn't run the 40. When you're 6'1 and 230, you're a heavy back. You're one of the bigger, more well-put-together backs. I need to see a 40. In college, he wasn't very fast for me. He didn't pass the eye test all the often. Like I say, he could have been the best back in this class, but now for me, he's lost at sea.
Yeah,
he
I think
welcome at all.
He's cemented himself for me as a day 3 pick, whereas it could have been fringe day 2, but he's just not there.
Like I say, for me, I actually kind of love that. I would absolutely love to bring him on day 3, like I say, as that the hammer. I think he can be a Craig Reynolds.
Yeah, ooh. I can see that 100%. Yeah. Right, the guys who ranked a 5 or less for me, going from 5 down to 2, Jawar Jordan was slow, ran a bit flat, just kind of lacked precision in the route running. George Halani, late with his cuts, very slow. He was looking like he wanted to be precise in what he was doing rather than being fast, and he just looked like he was doing it at half pace. It was really weird. And then when he had the opportunity to make some catches, he dropped them. Not great. Dylan Johnson, just recognition was poor, lacked explosion, seemed to struggle with the Juice Staley drill, which is the bag in an eye where you have to kind of go up, right, back, up, left, back, and then explode through. He just kind of couldn't get over the bags, even though they're about 3 inches off the ground. Frank Gore Jr.
How he finished the season? Like, the guy was hopping on one leg. He's not healthy.
Yeah, probably not. But I'm ranking him on the combine performance he tested. If he's not fit, it's his fault. Like, just don't. If you're not fit, you're not hurting your stock by not testing. So just don't test. And there's plenty of guys who want to come to the combine. And you have said there are people who missed out on the combine who should have gone. If you're not quite right, don't go. It's in your best interest and someone else's as well. Frank Gore Jr. just had a... I back your take on him being a really good prospect for the pros, because I think that will be true. But in terms of his combine workout, he didn't run the 40. Fine. Don't care. That doesn't change anything for me. But he looked unbalanced all the way through, like he was going to fall over without being touched. And I just, That doesn't fill me with confidence. He looked like he was ad-libbing when other people knew what they were doing. It was like he was told to run the drill however he wanted to, and he was kind of just making it up, whereas everyone else seemed like they were running the drill that was asked. And I don't know what that says, because, okay, when he actually understands what he's meant to be doing, I'm sure he'll be fine. But in this, the uncertainty when everyone else looks fairly certain is worrying to me. And the last one was Audric Estime, who had one of the worst combines I've seen in a long, long time. And the main reason for that was his legs were splayed when he was running. His legs were like this. And it's like, if you want to have agility, if you want to be able to move left or right, you need them close to each other so you can just move quickly. But it looked like all he could do was run straight. He looks so bad when trying to run from side to side. I couldn't even take it. Yeah, anyway. Moving on from the running backs, you want me to do quarterbacks and wide receivers now? Because they both went together.
QBs shouldn't take long.
Let's do quarterbacks then. Who had a good day for you, Anthony Fitzpatrick?
All you Penix haters can eat it. He looked really damn good. And he is going to be one of the better quarterbacks from this class. If he lands on a team that can protect him, he'd be one of the best pocket passers in the NFL. That's his ceiling. And he backed it up here. So, yeah, Penix looked damn good. And I'll give him to that. I know on the flip side who I hate as well. And that might be another who hurts Ryan as well, because he didn't look good.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a minute. Ryan, who did he like?
I think Michael Pratt looked good. Like I say, his throws were pretty good. He's a smaller guy, but all round, he didn't do himself any harm, which he couldn't afford to do. He couldn't really elevate himself, but he did okay. The throwers and everything was fairly on target. He's not got the biggest arm, so he worked well within his limitations. So everyone knows what his limitations are.
Ash, there, or have you gone? He's gone. Right. I had three quarterbacks that I've really liked in this. And then one who surprised me, even though I don't like him, I thought he did his stock okay. The guy I thought was the best was JJ McCarthy. And I mean, his throws are just rifled though. Like, he doesn't really seem like he has a huge amount of touch. He just absolutely hammers in there. The way he was doing it reminded me of Stafford. Basically, nothing else about his game reminds me of him, but just the way he rifles his balls in was really weird. I have several notes that just say bullets next to his name, which is really funny. But generally speaking, he was the most accurate quarterback. He has a sufficient level of arm strength. He's got good arm talent. It looks like his processing was fairly good. He was the best for me. Second best guy is going to make Ant really happy, which is Devin Leary. I thought he looked fantastic. He showed sufficient arm strength. His touch was fantastic. Like, he didn't seem to rifle the ball in, but every ball just seemed to be in the right place, gave his guys a chance. The final guy I'll mention is Penix as well. I thought he was really good. Bo Nix, I think, did what he needed to do, but he wasn't remarkable. The guy who surprised me, one reason and one reason alone, is a man described previously on this show as, and I quote, an absolute statue. He ran a 4.55. Keaton Slovis. Like, where did that come from? You're faster than so many people who you should be slower than. It's insane, but you're still not draftable, mate, so never mind.
He's doing steroids.
Ash, who, yeah. who did you like from the quarterbacks?
I say none of them. Like, they all were just...
Yeah, I pulled that face. I wasn't enamored by any of them. But he's hard.
It is, yeah. Like, I guess, I don't know. I guess Penix, like, he looks like, at least the passengers I've seen, he looked okay. But then again, I didn't see that much. It might just be I've seen the highlights and then the rest of his throws were bad. I just didn't really... Wow.
I loved Penix's throws.
I was right there. It's because I saw your face and I was just like, oh, God, I've let some...
There was a comment on the live commentary which basically said, apart from, I think it was the very first throw he had, every single ball has been absolutely where it needs to be. Yeah, it was just super impressive.
That is Penix for me. Like, he is the definition of a pocket passer. Like, and teams want that. So, like, I could see, and I hate saying it because I can see him doing really damn good there. If Kirk doesn't come back to Minnesota, put Penix into that system with Jefferson, with, God, I should remember his name, the guy they drafted out of USC last year. He started at Pitt with Hawk. Just with those weapons, I know they doesn't have a run game, but as we discussed, there's some good running backs. I could see Penix doing well in that kind of, like the sort of McVay, Shanahan's kind of scheme. I can see and Penix doing well.
Jalen McMillan to be his wide receiver three.
Oh, there you go. Exactly.
Addison, Jefferson.
Addison.
And McMillan.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be fierce. Like, he'd exactly. do well there.
Right, let's go for the quarterbacks that we didn't like then. So who had a bad day? Go on then, Ant.
Sam Hartman's going to Canada. He was terrible. And I hate this because I've loved watching him in college over the years, but he's going not to Canada. You know, he's had a bad year. He's going to Canada. He's not getting drafted.
He's not
making a practice squad. He might make a practice squad. He'll get cut quick. He'll end up in the CFL and put up some ridiculous numbers there and then come back in a few years, maybe. That's his route. Didn't like him. And fraud of this whole thing is Joe Milton. His pretty throws will make someone do an unpretty thing and draft him. He's awful. He's terrible. He makes these throws in pajamas all the time, but he can't do it when it matters. He's a fraud. And don't let that combined performance fool you.
Right. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, that 4.8 40 for Sam Hartman ain't saving him anything. He's going undrafted. This year was not a good move to Notre Dame. And yeah, he is just littered with, it don't matter how handsome the bastard is, like I say, he is just littered with problems. And also, that really stupid arm strength drill, like, I hated that. Didn't do very well. Who's trying to slant at 55 kilometers an hour?
Like, Matt Stafford.
Yeah, it just, for me, it's just this, I don't like that drill. That's not arm strength to me. But also, he didn't do well. He only had, like, what, like 48 kilometers per hour or something? Like, he was down, like, the bottom half.
Yeah.
His arm's weak. He's not a good scrambler, despite the 40. He's not good in space. Like you say, he looks like a deer in headlights. Yeah.
Yeah.
40 is me, and I loved him at Wake Forest. But the moment he left, to me, the dream died. It's kind of all just gone downhill.
So my take is that I think Sam Hartman's going to LA to be a model. I don't... Sorry, Ash, but had to go there.
He's the new Jimmy G.
Stop. I was literally about to make the calendar joke again, and you've stole it from me. So
the thing is, he'll make far more money doing that than he will from the CFL, so why bother? Yeah. Just,
I think JJ McCarthy is going to be drafted by the Minnesota Vikings.
So he's not going to be there at that point. Someone's going to do something really...
They're at 11.
Yeah,
I think
someone's going to do something really stupid, and they're going to give up the house to move to four for JJ, and then they're going
to
regret it for the rest
four.
They're going
to
regret
gone
it
by
the rest
four.
Of their lives.
He's gone. Yeah, JJ is going top three.
So for me now, it's Caleb Williams, it's Jaden Daniels, it's JJ McCarthy, and it's all the way down here. It's Drake May.
So for me, JJ's going to New England, and it's not just the Michigan connection, because I just don't think that's a thing. I think that New England pride themselves on running like the most prototypical pro-style team in terms of being okay handing the ball off, processing things well, making the throws you have to make. How does that sound any more like JJ McCarthy? Like, that is what everyone's panning him for. That's what New England like in quarterbacks.
Can I put a wild theory out there, which could be true? Like, there is a head coach in the NFL, a new head coach in the NFL, who would love JJ McCarthy more than anybody. And there's a team with a fuck ton of cap space at number two who could take his very expensive quarterback, so he gets his Andrew Luck there. But the Chargers trade Herbert to the Patriots for number two and take JJ.
Well, that trade won't go through because the Patriots don't have number two. Number two is Washington.
They'll do it for three then. I think there's a hot take in there because, you know, Harbaugh has said he's the new Andrew Luck. This is what he's given it up for. He'll want his rookie QB there. The Patriots having way enough cap to absorb a hit for Justin Herbert. Like, kick Herbert out of LA, take JJ there. That could be something stupid that could be done. And the Chargers are stupid enough to do it.
Can I say, and it's me bringing him up. You should have anticipated since it'd be discussing QBs. Can I say I'm glad that Jordan wasn't there to test, because honestly, I think he would have hurt. Like, he would have tested well. He probably would have
got hurt
good athletic. Yeah, he would have had good athletic testing, would have hurt himself with the throws. I love JT to bits. Probably would have been middle of the ground in the arm test, and his deep accuracy isn't that, so he probably will hurt his stock. At least now, he's still in that sort of day three. Someone will take a flyer on him and see if they can get him to fix his mechanics. As the Lions re-sign Saints Joelstra live on the podcast.
There we go.
Mitchell breaking news.
It's the news we didn't know we needed. just to get in my takes on the guys I didn't like at quarterback, I am again going to go in on Joe Milton as well. Yes, okay, you can throw the ball far, but you didn't look like you could throw it on time far. He waited too long to throw the ball and then was overthrowing people left, right, and center. He threw one flat. He threw one too high. Like, so inconsistent with that deep ball. Trying to throw the ball short, he looked like he'd never played quarterback before. It was like, what are you doing? Like, just get the ball out. If JJ McCarthy has rhythm, Joe Milton's got two right feet. Like, what's wrong with you? I feel bad going on Austin Reed because he's a fantastic story and almost maybe wouldn't have been invited to the combine in a normal year, but he looked legit bad. Just can't throw with a spiral. Ball wobbles out of the air and then doesn't reach its target. It was a shame. And then I've spoken on Hartman already, but yeah, there we go. Shall we move on to what I think Ryan really wanted to get into, which is the wide receivers?
Yeah.
All right. So there were two groups, and I mean, there hasn't been a much stronger class, I don't think, in some time. I really, really, really like this class. But I'll come to Ryan because I know he's itching to talk about it. So who did well for you?
You're all going to say this guy didn't just have the best combine of all the wide receivers. I'm saying that now. He was the best tested of all the wide receivers. He had one of the best combines of the entire combine. Like I said, he had a great season at Florida. He had a good offseason.
Oh, yeah.
He came first in free cone drill. He had a 42 vert. Like I said, he ran a 4.41 with a 157, and he had a 10'9" broad, which I believe was 6. 6'1", measured in a bit wide, about like 179, like Ricky Pearsall.
189.
Ricky Pearsall has absolutely flown up wide receiver boards. He didn't just have a good season and like everyone's like, oh, yeah, he can make flashier. Like, the guy is explosive. He's fast. He's savvy. He's got the hands to match it. And I am pounding the table so hard for him here. We just won't regret. Like I say, he's silky smooth. And yeah, for me, all round, he was the best wide receiver. Like I say, when you just look, had well over a 9 RAS, and he came out with like a 6.82, will eventually be a solid starter combine grade. For him, that's brilliant. Because they weren't looking at like that. They were looking at it as a rotational piece before that. He's done himself probably the most good of any wide receiver in the class. And this wide receiver class, I agree, he is good. There are a lot of guys out there that are really good. Like I say, I like Xavier Legetta. Like I say, I think we'll be looking at him pretty hard. I know the Lions had a formal meeting with him. I like that we had a meeting with him because I think he offers that proper X size. Johnny Wilson. I know some want him to be a receiver, some want him to be a tight end. I say leave him at receiver because he's athletic. He's not big and slow, tight end. He's big and fast, and he's got a catch radius like a fucking pterodactyl. Like I say, he's going to take a lot of work, but you might just get, like say, like the Kobe or the Shaq of the NFL. It could be the next Shaquille O'Neal. So yeah, what a fun group to watch.
Yeah, it's not strong right at the top apart from, well, no, that's not true. Three guys who might go in the top seven. So, but it's strong all the way through. About Johnny Wilson, I don't know, Ash, whether he was injured at all because he kind of stopped halfway through, didn't do the The curl go comeback post corner or end zone fade. So
yes, and take it with a pinch of salt. It might just be him saying it because his 40 was a bit slow. Supposedly he tweaked something in the 40, and that's why it was a bit slower than what we were anticipating, because it was about 0.05 off what it was supposed to be. And just to piggyback off that, I know his 40 wasn't the best, 4.61, but fucking hell did Keon Coleman show out in that gauntlet drill. Second fastest time, and he looked fucking smooth doing it. And that's the thing he needed to work off, was the route running, because he was very much a 50-50 catch ball, go route kind of guy. And it seems he's been putting in the work to work on that route running, which is his big thing, was that in release. So yeah, the 40 wasn't that great, but as someone who has been part of the Keon Hive since day dot this season, I actually am higher on Keon now than I was coming into the combine somehow. It's like him. And then I did love Pearsall as well. Like, I hate saying it because the Florida rivalry, and also because it is pretty much him and Keon sort of batting it in my head as like the top two receivers I kind of think are realistic for us. Both did great. And also, you know what? Brennan Rice. Having to put, like, I know some people have a bit mixed reactions with the Caleb Williams thing at the press conference, but you know what? Brennan Rice, for someone who I didn't know that much about, you've raised yourself up the list of people I'm watching at wide receiver now.
And who did well for you at wide receiver?
So this was the small school day for me in terms of the, because you know everyone knows prospects at the top, but at the bottom end of it, Anthony Gould looked really damn good, and he's one of the best returners going. So if you're looking for sort of a guy who's going to come in, impact your special teams big time, work his way up the chain, he's certainly in that frame now. We're going even smaller school to the FCS, but Ryan Flournoy continues to impress. Like, he didn't necessarily in his all-star game, but in the week up to, he looked really good in his combine. He's looked really good as well. And he's got the prototype shape you want for a receiver in the NFL. You've seen how Andre Yoshivas has taken to the league eventually with the Browns. He's getting his way in there. He's working his way in. Flournoy is going to be the guy who follows that route next. And whether it's with us or someone else, I don't know. But I know he's a draftable prospect at this moment in time. Really impressed with him. And the third one, and I'll move this over to Rye, but how good did Luke McCaffrey look, Rye? Like, dude's going to get drafted. I know he says his size and everything, but I thought he looked really damn good.
Yep, he's a running back, he's a receiver, he's a punt returner as well. He's one of the best special teams in this class. Yeah, he's getting drafted for sure. Someone's going to have a lot of fun with him. And I'd like it to be Ben Johnson. I feel like you could do some things with him.
Him as the Leaf, like a Leaf successor, I'd back it.
I mean, he can beat his brother in the NFC Championship game next year. how good's that? I mean, I think so, like the one thing against him is like it was the athletic thing there, but I think he scored like a solid 8 RAS or something like that. I think it was like sort of 8.83, something like that. So like his athletic testing's good, and he's got everything he needs to succeed. He'll work his way in by special teams again. But as everyone is talking about the receivers at the top of the draft, I think the ones at the bottom really put some moves in there. Some of those guys are gonna go up high. And I think the other one I wanted to mention very quickly was I get them mixed up. It's Malik Washington. Because I get him mixed up with Taj. But Malik, he's just coming off the 1 year of like uber good production. So it's a case of can he do it, you know, long term. But he also looked really good. I really like him as well. So he did really well.
Right, I'm going to give my guys ranked 10 out of 10 through 8 out of 10 because there's a lot of them, so I'm just going to get through this. 10s, Ladd McConkey. Yeah. I think that the NFL needs to learn the lesson of Amon-Ra St. Brown, because Ladd McConkey is incredible and he needs to be top of the first round consideration. He needs to be in that sort of top 16 at the very least. I think he is fantastic.
Give over.
Nope. No. I think that's low for where his value is going to be. I think he's going to absolutely light it up in the NFL. The other 10s I had, I mean, just gave one to Xavier Worthy because he did one thing and he did it exceptionally well, but whatever for him as a prospect, really. Brendan Rice was the other 10. I thought he was exceptionally polished. At 208, you run a 4.50 and you just catch everything thrown your way, show explosion, show good cut ability. Love it. The 9s, Bub Means. Fantastic day. Well. Thought he looked incredible.
Pittsburgh guy?
Yes. Yeah. At 212, he ran a 4.43 and he caught everything. Amazing. A guy who I can't believe is in late day three conversation, Cornelius Johnson. Just powerful, fast, catching everything thrown his way. He had really nice finesse in his cuts. He was exaggerating what he was doing. I think it's going to throw off some people in the NFL. He's never breached 700 yards in a season for Michigan, but didn't throw the ball very much. And he was still consistently productive. I think it's going to be really good for a team. The other 9s, Taj Washington. Thought he looked fantastic. Jalen Polk, Ricky Pearsall. And then the 8s, I had Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Thought he looked very agile, really liked it. Lydiatric Griffin, who is apparently not... I think he can do more than that. Seemed a little heavy-footed in the deep in, but other than that, route running fantastic. Really enjoyed him. Jalen McMillan, I thought also looked very good. Showed power, route running was really good. Other 8s were Isaiah Williams, who was slow, but again, very polished. Like, just enjoyed him. Johnny Wilson, Jamari Thrash, Malik Washington, and Roma Dunze. Those are all my 10 through 8s. Devontae Walker with an honourable mention, because for all of his stock tanking, I thought he kind of steadied the ship a bit. He looked fast. He caught everything thrown his way. And the drops were the issue at the Senior Bowl. So I thought that was a good comeback. But
what about
a really good class.
They asked what Keon got then.
Keon got 6 for me. So the problem with Keon is that he ran slow. And yes, the gauntlet was fantastic. I mean, really good. But then he seemed to get a drop problem. And I don't know whether it was just concentration, but he struggled catching the ball. And that when you're slow, catch the ball. And
I mean...
I know that he's a fast play guy, but then still catch the ball. Like that is ranking him on how the combine went for him, not what he's going to be like as a prospect.
Yeah.
But if you are a contested catch guy and it's not even contested, catch it. Who for you guys had a bad combine at the wide receiver position? Ash.
It's saying it because it's a small, like you guys might disagree, but it's just because I heard a lot of him on day 3 for us. And I just don't know, like, the testing wasn't where I was maybe hoping, and maybe it's just me reading into the 40-yard, but Jalen Coker out of Holy Cross, just, I wasn't that impressed. Like, I hadn't got around to him. I consistently saw him in for, like, day 3 in, like, our sort of mock draft channel to us. Didn't come away impressed. It might be I'll go and look at the tape, but like, you know what, actually, was a bad day at the office like Keon had, but I was expecting a bit more.
Ryan, who had a bad day?
I'm finding it very hard to give people bad days. Come back to me. And I'll give you a concrete name.
Ant.
Probably Franklin's an absolute fraud. Never been impressed with him, still not impressed with him, and he's gonna go way too high for what he should do. I didn't like that from him. Others, I wasn't impressed by Jaquan Jackson. That's unfortunate. Didn't really like what was going on there. But outside of that, again, there's no one who I wasn't already down on or I wasn't too keen on other than that, but yeah, Franklin was really bad, and he didn't do well out of this. I don't know who else looked good. I think overall the receivers did okay. They did pretty good.
Ryan, coming back to you.
Do you know what? Troy Franklin, you just don't do it for me.
It's going to be quite funny when it comes for me. Yeah. So
I was okay. The season was okay, but I just don't see anything. You just don't stand out. There's nothing there to just separate him from other people.
I mean, can we call Harrison a loser if the others have like leapfrogged him? I don't know if he has, but
I don't think so.
Really.
I mean, I don't blame him for not going. Like that, not turning up. Shit, they should have known better. Like he did a duo.
I think it's the right decision.
I do.
Yeah. So I'm saying this, but I promise, and it is not me saying this. It's just what I've seen around Twitter sphere and that. Supposedly, people are down on Roma Dunze out of this. They think now there's a massive gap between Harrison and Abbas, and then there's a massive gap to a Dunze and everyone else.
That's fine. I'm a Josh Schufus fan, so like he didn't go. His stock has risen from not going to that thing.
Yeah.
There's no one. There is not one of those receivers who has made me think that we should take him over him. Like Schufus is still the guy, and he should have been there.
Right. So for my guys who had a bad day, because so few had a bad day, if you got six or less, you had a bad day because everyone else did better than you. So the sixes, Ryan Flournoy, a six is a good grade, but just didn't think that you looked particularly great. He was fast and powerful, good at tracking the ball, but wasn't great at catching it. Balance when he was trying to stop wasn't great. So comeback routes, curls, just looked like he was overrunning it because he couldn't stop his own momentum. He could get better with that. That could be something you train, but he wasn't sudden in the way that I wanted him to be. Anthony Gould, again with a six. His timing was fast. His play speed was slow for me in terms of like the gauntlet. He was not... I wanted to see him run that faster, and I think he's capable of it. I think he just kind of played in himself a little bit, but whatever. Keon Coleman, I've already mentioned, as a six. Adonai Mitchell, who obviously really fast, and that's why I ranked him a six as well. But he seemed really bad tracking the ball. Like, he just seemed to lose it several times or see it late. And to his credit, he then showed off his ball skills by being able to catch some of those balls that he tracks badly. But it's the sort of thing that we've seen from Jameson where you just need practice at it. I think he can get there, but didn't like to see that. One more six was Roman Wilson, who had trouble catching the ball as well. He made one circus catch right at the end, which made me feel a bit better about him. But otherwise, he was late to the ball location sometimes. Sometimes it just came off his hands, almost fell. His balance seemed a bit off. For someone who's meant to be the most polished and all of this stuff, he just wasn't. And when you are meant to be at 1.85 running in the 4.2s, when you run a 4.4, that ain't great. So I just think that the first round push for Roman needs to be abated a little bit. Middle round two, late round two, fine. Absolutely can see the value there, but I think the push on him is overstated. The fives, Jalen Coker, I didn't think he was awful, but just a little slow. His gauntlet, he was weaving so much. He didn't look like he could run straight. It was funny almost, but otherwise his catching was fantastic. But just, when you run a 4.58, I want to see polish because he ain't fast. Jaquan Jackson, Ant mentioned, didn't have a great day. And Troy Frank, that was a fives and five. Brian Thomas just lacked concentration, just kind of wasn't there. At 209, when you run a 4.34, you should be having a fantastic day, but dropped three, four balls, struggled to stop in routes, wasn't great. Devon Vele had a bad day. And then my only four was Troy Franklin, which makes it really funny that you guys have mentioned that he looked bad. He weaved a lot in the gauntlet. He made a couple of really good catches, but lost his feet a couple of times, fell over, stumbled, tracking was poor, screwed up his timing on jumps. The end zone drills look bad. Like, you're 1.76. Please run in the 4.3s, but you ran a 4.41. So for your weight, you are slow. You can't catch the ball very well. You mistime your jumps. What are you for? It made me really angry because I wanted to like him so much, but he just didn't do it. Anyway, that's those for me. I know that's going to anger a lot of people, especially the Roman Wilson take and the Brian Thomas take, because I don't think he should be a first round pick. But he will be. He still will be. He's fast and he's big, so someone's going to give him a chance. But may I remind someone that there's an LSU player very like him in terms of profile who might not get a contract after his rookie deal's finished.
This wide receiver surges.
Sorry?
Is it Terrace Marshall?
Yeah.
Terrace Marshall, yeah.
I get Marshall vibes from Brian Thomas.
This wide receiver boon's going to be so good for us. Like, it's just going to start pushing people down the board.
Yeah.
Because there's just such an overreaction to this, to some of them. Like, I've seen like 6 or 7 wide receivers in there now. And I remember the draft, I think it was 2 drafts ago. I predicted 7 and I was right. And I'm like, yeah, I had that feeling before that draft that they were going to be like, do not with these. I do not at all.
Right, on to our final day, the offensive linemen. And I must confess, I do not have the breakdown for these guys. So I'm entirely relying on you for yesterday.
I want to do this again. So I know who Ryan wants to talk about. At least I think I do.
I have. So I'm one of two people, I think.
I've got it. It's on the other side of this paper, Ryan. But no, you can't see it. But like, I know the guy you want to talk about.
Right, the gauntlet has been thrown down once again. Ryan McCluskey, who had a really good day on the offensive line.
And does it sound like an off-brand jar of Dormio?
It does. Yes.
He's there.
Thanos.
Thanos Bartolone.
Oh, there we go. I'm good at this.
Guard from Wisconsin, the mullet madness, the majestic mullet. Like, say, what did you run, a 4.93?
Yeah.
Like that.
He was like top 5 in every test for offensive linemen.
It's ridiculous. The guy is going to be one of the best rookie pulling guards. Like, say, if not a center. Like, say, he has split time, to his credit, quite a lot of snaps as a Badger. But yeah, like, say, good, decent, overall average to good size, but athletically, he blew it up, like I say, and we need him. He is a run game aficionado, gets the next level, he will just bulldoze guys. He will literally just flatten them and he will just laugh at them. Like I say, he gets the next second or third level and he just looks for someone to hit. And he's so good at coming across the line. Like I say, he knows exactly time to pick up the blitz, pick up the blots or seal the edge. He is one of the biggest risers probably at the combine, because the interior line is kind of a hard one to judge, because like, there's a lot of guys that could be guards, a lot of guys that could be centers. Not many that can do both. I think he's one of those that can do both, and that's going to make him very attractive. More attractive than he already is, because he's very handsome.
Anyone else, Ryan, that you want to shout out as having a good day generally across the offensive line?
Coleman, who was the guy with the long blonde hair?
Brandon Coleman at TCU. He's one of my guys as well.
9'9", 8 rounds.
He looks every bit of a. He looks like a man mountain, but he can shift with the best of them. Like I say, he looks like a really good option. It's like a rotational depth piece.
All right, let's go to Ann.
I'm going to depart, guys. So all right.
In a bit.
Cheers, Ryan.
Take care, Ryan.
And we had a good day for you on the offensive line.
I mean, there were a lot of guys. Like, I really, really enjoyed this. But the one I liked most overall, and maybe surprised me a bit, but he's been on my radar a bit now, and I'm really intrigued on him, is Tylan Grable. He's the UCF left tackle. So this goes all the way back to the Hula Bowl when he played there, and I picked up on him. He's tremendous. He's a 4-year start. He's played 2 years at Jacksonville State. He's played 2 years at UCF. So he's played in a really run-heavy system, and he's played in a really complex run system at UCF as well. This is a guy who can shift. His athletic measurables, he was top 5 in most things as well, which is like 6'7", nearly 300 pounds. He's a big dude. And like, he was putting up some athletic numbers, which I did not expect him to. Vastly experienced starter. And if it's a guy you're wanting to bring in and you're wanting to develop at tackle while the two incumbents are still there, and to bring some really good pedigree to the line, especially in the run game, which is what we excel at, you want him in for that. Like, Grable has shot right up there now to the list of guys that, you know, that I would do at that point. It's in terms of the later guys, but Like, he's the one I want to mention first, but there's plenty, but, like, you know, let's spread it round. I don't want to go through them all first.
Ash.
Blake Fisher. So everyone was focusing on Joe Alms, the other Notre Dame tackle, but I liked what I saw from Fisher. We're in the market for a swing tackle, OT3. I think there's something there that could be developed on. Like, and then obviously on that same vein, and I know he ran the fastest 40, so of course everyone's going to know, but Roger Rosengarten out of Washington, fastest 40. I think he had the fastest 10-yard split as well. Just double-checking. No, he didn't. Okay, scrap that. But again, the guy, there's stuff there that we can use to develop. We'll be looking for that because obviously as much as we love Skip, he can't keep coming back on one-year contracts. It seems the Matt Nelson experiment's finally over. We need someone who can be a reliable swing tackle, especially with how much we go to six offensive linemen. So I came away quite impressed with them too.
And you want to... Oh, hello. Let's not do that. You want to shout out some more guys, so crack on.
Oh, hang on. Who was I going to shout out next? There's three or four. Honourable mention to Talis Fuaga. I mean, like, he is so good. And I said this was my... You know, I have some draft takes that are like in my little, the naughty part of my brain. They're the naughty thoughts I shouldn't have. But the naughty thought here would be to trade Taylor Decker, move Penei Sewell to left tackle and put Fuaga at right and just absolutely kill teams when you're running against these two. Honestly, he is that good that he would make a little piece of me want to do. Of course, I don't want to do that. That's just a little naughty thought, but that's just how great he was. Like, dude, you just see how athletic he is for a tackle. Like, there's no give or anything. He just changes direction on a dime. He's got speed. He's got strength. He's nasty. He's nasty. He is so nasty when it comes to the run game. Like, honestly, I just love him to death. And I thought he had an incredibly good combine. So for him, he's really done himself a lot of good. I agree with Ryan about Bortolini. I put him in my mock the other day. I would love to get him in later on because you're developing for Frank. If Frank has a year or two left, he's the guy you bring in and you get him going in a couple of years' time because that's what he needs. He needs some development. But, you know, those Wisconsin boys are they're really tough and they're exactly our style of player. So he looked great. I mean, you know, I don't want to take everyone, but if you're looking again for small school guys, CJ Hansen was really good. The Holy Cross tackle, another vastly experienced guy at a lower level who athletically has ticked all the boxes that he needs to. He's got the experience. He's got everything you want, again, as a development guy. So he firmly goes into the box with Grable, but Grable's got Power 5 experience, so put him over it. But, you know, some of those guys were really impressive. Mahogany looked really good. Mahogany is technically refined as they come. In terms of how guards go, fantastic. You know, he's going to make someone very happy. If it's not Haynes, if it's not Gadlin, it's Mahogany. So, you know, is there anyone else? I'll move it back onto someone else if you've got others, because there were a couple of others as well. I really, really enjoyed this.
There's someone I want you to just talk to me about, because in terms of centres, the most athletic guy on the board is now the NC State Wolfpack guy, Dylan McMahon, who tested really well, but I don't actually know anything about him. What's he like?
He's very good. For me, the thing is, kind of the system we play, what's required of him, you know, there's a lot of other really good guys on that. Like we have really good offensive lines, and there's plenty of talent on there, and I think He's a cog in that line. He's a cog in a really good line without being exceptional himself. He's very, like I say, very athletic. We do run a complex system. We like to run the ball a lot. We pass it as well when we need to. He does everything you need to with him. He's surprising, actually. He's a stash and develop center. I don't know whether he can do it in the NFL. But, you know, if he did, great. I just have never got that vibe off him. Not like with the NC State guy, I usually get the vibes for the ones that have got it and I haven't with him. But now again, this is why I don't get the wide receiver talent thing in the first round. There's just so much good offensive line talent. The teams need offensive linemen. and it was on show here, and it was a shame because so many of these guys got hurt as well. Some good weeks were destroyed by injuries, which was a shame. But who else did well? Was there anyone else who really stood out? I'll pass it on to Ash because I've said about six now.
So Mason McCormick, the Jackrabbit, I quite liked him.
Yeah, he's good.
He was really good. I liked him. And I know he didn't run that well. Like, he was one of the slowest. But Dominic Puny, the tackle guard guy out of Kansas, wasn't like, I know he had a slow 40, but again, someone I like in the drills, I like the look of. So
yeah, he was great. And of course, I think goes without saying, Cooper Beep had a good day.
Cooper Bieber, yeah.
He's just that good.
Everyone knows Cooper.
He's by default, is just he's raised himself to guard two behind Christian Haynes.
You've already mentioned Gatlin.
Everyone says the other way around, but
yeah.
So Math Bomb has remade an enemy out of me again. He doesn't know, but you know me. I hate Ras. I hate everything Ras stands for. I believe it's unfair in the characteristic of some of these guys, but he scored a low Ras. I don't give up. Xavier Gadlin's going to be a great guard in the NFL. Kiss my ass, Ras.
Exactly. That's how you know he's a good guy, when even me, who loves the stats numbers, can say, yeah, he's a good guy. I've like, ever since Ant first mentioned him on the podcast, and I clipped it up just because he said he did Shakespeare. I've watched a bit of Liberty O-line. Pretty damn good guy. So if you can get me and Ant to agree on someone from completely opposing viewpoints of things,
He's got 1,000 career snaps at 4 different offensive line positions. That's about as versatile as you can get. His stats don't look good, but hey, he's moved around, and the last 2 years he's been utterly dominant. So yeah, I'm going to go against Ras on that one. Ras is wrong.
Talking about Ras and going with Ras for someone who's a really good pass blocker, not in the FBS, go to the Jackrabbits, and Garrett Greenfield tested really well.
Yeah, Greenfield, yeah.
And I mean, his pass blocking is 82.6, the run blocking is 56.6. So a little bit of work to be done in that regard. But 6'7", 320, and you put on that performance, there's a big boy going out there, and he had the biggest broad of all of them. Biggest vert, 38 and a half at 311 pounds. Come on, man. That's insane. Who did badly for you guys?
This is not his fault. I want to say that straight away. But Amarius Mims, so he tested really well and looked really good, but he pinged his hamstring, and the big knock on Mims is his health. He has played so little football during his collegiate career, specifically because of hamstrings, and this is where we come back to the whole offensive linemen should not run the 40. It's antiquated. It's outdated. They should just pit right off and do a 20 with them, because no one cares what your O-lineman runs over 40. They just don't. It's your 10-yard split. It's your 20-yard split in the run game. How good is that? Because all three of them injured themselves between 30 and 40. Just stupid. Should be done. But he's a faller because of that. That injury indirectly affects him, because everyone is going to be screaming, oh God, the injuries are back. And he's a big man. You've seen what's happened with, you know, Jets left tackle, Becton. Mekhi Becton. Like, you saw in high school, like, the pictures of him, the standing jumps he was doing, like, in 5-6 foot high, and you're like, yeah, that's great, but, you know, is that big body going to be able to take the workload of the NFL? And it's not. Like, these really big guys, you have durability concerns, and that's going to tank his stock.
Well,
honestly, and it's not his fault. I thought he looked really good, and he was impressing me, but that injury's just ruined it all.
No. Well, his stock's also down for me, because, and it's his fault, he's a snitch, so F him. No one Yep, let's just say I have some personal grievances against Mims after recent NCAA news. But anyway, put that aside. I don't know, like, I'm trying to think, because I didn't watch too much athletic testing.
I just want to quickly say, we missed out Frank Crum for positives. Frank Crum,
yes, Frank
very
Crum.
Good.
Yes,
And he's got the best mullet in the country.
I was going to say, because he was the other guy other than Tanner that I thought that Rye would be mentioning, because obviously he loves his Wyoming guys. I hate saying it, because especially since, to be fair, you're not really much of a Razorbacks fan anymore, are you? So I can maybe rip him a bit.
I don't have no interest in bowling, so do what you want.
Brady Latham didn't really... I didn't like what I saw, but that might just be me.
Who else performed badly?
I mean, just in terms of the athletic testing, in terms of making yourself borderline undraftable, Jeremy Flax?
He's always the Kentucky lineman. He's always had issues.
Yeah, you just can't go out there and run a 5.65, 5.64. Like, ugh.
Yeah, that's true. Who else? There were a few others that I weren't too cool. I don't think Aguacon looked good, the Florida center, and I'm not doing that just to butter a patch there, but I thought he looked... he looked poor in the grand scheme of things. I wasn't... You know what? I'm going to get hate for this, but I don't care, because they were boasting all week about how the Michigan guys are 2 years ahead of everybody else. No, they're not. Stop it.
You're the one doing it. Shut up.
The Michigan guys aren't 2 years ahead of everybody else. They certainly as hell didn't look like they were 2 years ahead of everybody else. There's a reason that none of them are high-level draft picks. Like, you know, they're that much more advanced. No, they're not. Just going to say now, the Combine proved that wrong. They've been great in college, but at the next level, like, I don't see the next... You know, I don't see the next superstar Michigan offensive lineman in this group, in this class.
So did Zinta test?
No,
I didn't think
this
he
is
would,
at the combine. I'm not classifying Zinta because he didn't do the thing. Like, Zinta is one of the best guards going. He'll be a stud if he recovers. But the rest of them, yeah, I'm sorry. 18 guys went, but yeah, they're not all that good. So...
I found one other guy who maybe had one of the worst days athletically, which is Andrew Rame from Oklahoma. Who managed to do a sub?
Hurt.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did a sub 8, but he did a sub 8 foot broad.
Rame got hurt. Prince Pines got hurt. Amarius Mims got hurt. Prince, you know what? I didn't even know Prince Pines existed. I'm not going to lie. That is. I'm sorry, Prince, but in fact, you know what? I lie. Most of the Michigan guys look shit. Drake Nugent looked good, the center. I'll give him that. He looked good. But the rest of them, no, they're not worth a penny to shake at. I don't know.
All right. Should we leave Combine there? Should we wrap that?
So Amasai looked good, but I'm telling you now, wolf in sheepskin clothing. I know you'll love him because he's Sewell's cousin, but he's a lie.
I like him as an athletic project to develop.
Yeah.
Not around.
That ain't worth the pick that he's gonna command. When I say that he's lazy on the field, I mean it. He does not have Penei's work. He does not have Penei's drive. It will be a massive mistake taking him. And I have watched numerous videos because I tried to change my mind because I used to like him. But the more I've watched, the more it pulls me away from him.
All right, we've got a few questions to get to, which we'll take on after the end of the audio show. Is there any thoughts you guys want to get in before we close out the audio pod on the Combine in general? About enjoying the event, about the people opting out, about, you know, issues with people opting out of specific tests or anything like that?
Tom Grossi can stop interviewing Max Melton. Get lost.
You're saying that, and I'm going completely the other way. When I was walking home from the gym yesterday, I put it on, and it was just when Lance was talking about Mort, and I was literally tearing up on the way home from the gym watching that. That legit broke my heart watching that.
Yeah,
I was watching it when they did the live reaction to it. It was like, that was tough.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to him. Right, on that somber note, we're going to close out the audio show. If you've asked questions, we are going to get to them after we sign off for the audio pod. If you have more questions, get them in right now. We'll talk about them in just a second. Main podcast is next back, this time next week, hoping to go live at noon Eastern time as legal tampering opens. I know at the very least, myself and Ant are going to be on, breaking everything down, being the first guys to report on if any free agency deals go down in the legal tampering period. So we'll see you at noon Eastern time, 5 p.m. UK time. And the College Football Podcast, Ant has been busy recently, but the HBCU Legacy Bowl review is coming very shortly. Find us on our socials, Royal Lions UK on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And the group for worldwide fans is Detroit Lions Fans UK, Warren Pride, World Wise. Don't forget to check out the website, rotluk.com. Subscribe and rate us 5 stars on your podcast provider. Come and join us on Discord as well, because it's a really great place to hang out with some cool Lions fans. It just remains for me to thank Ryan, who's just gone, as well as Ash and Ant. Cheers, boys. It's been a great weekend of combine football. And roll on the draft. Let's go, Lions. One Pride.
One Pride.